The Travels of Sir John Manville, Sir John Manville. Listen to and download free AI-generated audiobooks at threeords.com, and albeit that it be possible thing that men may so environ, all the world, nathels, of 1,000 persons, one knee might not, happen to return into his country. For the greatness of the earth and of the sea, men may go by 1,000 and 1,000 other ways that no man could ready him perfectly toward. The parts that he came from, but if it were by adventure and hap, or by the grace of God. For the earth is full large and full great, and holds in roundness and about environ by above and by beneath 20,425 miles, after the opinion of old wise astronomers, and their sayings I reprove not. But after my little wit, it seemeth me, saving their reverence, that it is more, and for to have better understanding, I say thus. B. There imagined a figure that hath a great compass. And about the point of the great compass that is clept the center, B. made another little compass. Then after, B. the great compass devised by lines in many parts, and that all the lines meet at the center. So that in as many parts as the great compass shall be departed, in as many shall be departed the little that is about the center, albeit that the spaces be less. Now then, be the great compass represented for the firmament, and the little compass represented for the earth. Now then, the firmament is devised by astronomers in 12 signs, and every sign is devised in 30 degrees. That is 360 degrees that the firmament hath above. Also, be the earth devised in as many parts as the firmament, and let every part answer to a degree of the firmament. And wit it well, that, after the authors of astronomy, 700 furlongs of earth answer to a degree of the firmament, and those be 87 miles and 4 furlongs. Now be that here multiplied by 360 scythes, and then they be 31,500 miles every of 8 furlongs, after miles of our country. So much hath the earth in roundness and of height environ, after mine opinion and mine understanding. And ye shall understand that after the opinion of old wise philosophers and astronomers, our country nee Ireland nee Wales nee Scotland nee Norway nee the other isles coasting to them nee be not. In the superficiality counted above the earth, as it showeth by all the books of astronomy. For the superficiality of the earth is parted in 7 parts for the 7 planets, and those parts be clept climates. And our parts be not of the 7 climates, for they be descending toward the west, drawing towards the roundness of the world. And also these isles of Ind, which be even against us, be not reckoned in the climates, for they be against us that be in the low country. And the 7 climates stretch them, environing the world. Chapter XXI of the palace of the king of the Isle of Java, of the trees that bear meal, honey, wine, and venom, and of other marvels and customs used in the isles marching thereabout. Beside that isle that I have spoken of, there is another isle that is clept Sumaber, that is a great isle, and the king thereof is right mighty. The folk of that isle make them always to be marked in the visage with an hot iron, both men and women, for great noblesse, for to be known from other folk, for they hold themselves most noble and most worthy of all the world. And they have war always with the folk that go all naked. And fast beside is another isle that is clept Bitemga, that is a good isle and a plenteous. And many other isles be thereabout, where there be many of diverse folk, of the which it were too long to speak of all. But fast beside that isle, for to pass by sea, is a great isle, and a great country that men cleep Java. And it is nigh 2,000 mile in circuit. And the king of that country is a full great lord, and a rich and a mighty, and hath under him 7 other kings of 7 other isles about him. This isle is full well inhabited and full well manned. There grow all manner of spicery, more plenteously than in any other country, as of ginger, cloves, gylofer, cainel, seedwall, nutmegs, and maces. And wit well that the nutmeg beareth the maces, for right as the nut of the hazel hath an husk without, that the nut is closed in till it be ripe, and that after falleth out, right so it is of the nutmeg and of the maces. Many other spices and many other goods grow in that isle, for of all things is there plenty save only of wine. But there is gold and silver great plenty, and the king of that country hath a palace full noble and full marvelous, and more rich than any in the world. For all the degrees to go up into halls and chambers be one of gold, another of silver. And also the pavements of halls and chambers be all square, of gold one and another of silver. And all the walls within be covered with gold and silver in fine plates, and in those plates be stories and battles of knights enlived, and the crowns and the circles about there. Heads be made of precious stones and rich pearls and great, and the halls and the chambers of the palace be all covered within with gold and silver, so that no man would trow the riches of that palace but he had seen it, and wit well that the king of that isle is so mighty that he hath many times overcome the great Chan of Cathay in battle, that is the most great emperor that is under the firmament, either beyond the sea or on this half. For they have had often time war between them, because that the great Chan would constrain him to hold his land of him, but that other at all times defendeth him well against him. After that isle, in going by sea, men find another isle good and great, that men cleep pathen, that is a great kingdom full of fair cities and full of towns. In that land grow trees that bear meal, whereof men make good bread and white and of good savour, and it seemeth as it were of wheat, but it is not, allanges of such savour. And there be other trees that bear honey good and sweet, and other trees that bear venom against, the which there is no medicine but one, and that is to take their proper leaves and stamp them and temper them with water and then drink it, and else he shall die, for triacle will not avail, nee none other medicine. Of this venom the Jews had let seek of one of their friends for to empoison all Christianity, as I have heard them say in their confession before their dying, but thanked be Almighty God, they failed of their purpose, but always they make great mortality of people. And other trees there be also that bear wine of noble sentiment. And if you like to hear how the meal cometh out of the trees, I shall say, you men hew the trees with an hatchet all about the foot of the tree, till that the bark be parted in many parts, and then cometh out thereof a thick liquor, the which they receive in vessels and dry it at the heat of the sun, and then they have it to a mill to grind, and it becometh fair meal and white. And the honey and the wine and the venom be drawn out of other trees in the same manner, and put in vessels for to keep. In that isle is a dead sea, that is a lake that hath no ground, and if anything fall into that lake it shall never come up again. In that lake grow reeds that be canes that they cleep they be that be 30 fathoms long, and of these canes men make fair houses. And there be other canes that be not so long, that grow near the land and have so long roots that endure well a 4 quarters of a furlong or more, and at the knots of those roots men find precious stones that have great virtues. And he that beareth any of them upon him, iron knee, steel may not hurt him, knee draw no blood upon him, and therefore they that have those stones upon them fight full heartily both on sea and land, for men may not harm them on no part. And therefore they that know the manner and shall fight with them, they shoot to them arrows and quarrels without iron or steel, and so they hurt them and slay them. And also of those canes, they make houses and ships and other things as we have here, making houses and ships of oak or of any other trees. And deem no man that I say it but for a trifle, for I have seen of the canes with mine own eyes full many times, lying upon the river of that lake, of the which 20 of our fellows knee might not lift up knee bare one to the earth. After this isle men go by sea to another isle that is clept Callanac, and it is a fair land and a plenteous of goods, and the king of that country hath as many wives as he will, for he maketh search all the country to get him the fairest maidens that may be found, and maketh them to be brought before him. And he taketh one night, and another night, and so forth continually suing, so that he hath 1,000 wives or more. And he lieth never but one night with one of them, and another night with another, but if that one happen to be more lusty to his pleasance than another. And therefore the king getteth full many children, sometime 100, sometime 200, and sometime more. And he hath also into 14,000 elephants, or more, that he maketh for to be brought up amongst his villains by all his towns. For in case that he had any war against any other king about him, then he maketh certain men of arms for to go up into the castles of tree made for the war, that craftily be set upon the elephants' backs for to fight against their enemies, and so do other kings thereabout. For the manner of war is not there as it is here or in other countries, nee the ordinance of war neither. And men cleep the elephants, works, and in that isle there is a great marvel, more to speak of than in any other part of the world. For all manner of fishes that be there in the sea about them come once in the year, each manner of diverse fishes, one manner of kind after other. And they cast themselves to the sea bank of that isle so great plenty and multitude that no man may unneath see but fish. And there they abide 3 days, and every man of the country taketh of them as many as him liketh. And after that manner of fish after the 3rd day, departeth and goeth into the sea. And after them come another multitude of fish of another kind, and do in the same manner as the first did, other 3 days. And after them another, till all the diverse manner of fishes have been there, and that men have taken of them that them liketh. And no man knoweth the cause wherefore it may be. But they of the country say that it is for to do reverence to their king, that is, the most worthy king that is in the world, as they say, because that he fulfilleth the commandment that God bade to Adam and Eve, when God said, Crescite et multiplicamini et replete, teram, and for because that he multiplieth so the world with children, therefore God sendeth him so the fishes of diverse kinds of all that be in the sea, to take it his will for him and all his people. And therefore all the fishes of the sea come to make him homage as the most noble and excellent king of the world, and that is best beloved with God, as they say. I know not the reason why it is, but God knoweth. But this, meseemeth, is the most marvel that ever I saw. For this marvel is against kind and not with kind, that the fishes, that of freedom to environ all the coasts of the sea at their own list, come of their own will to proffer them to the death, without constraining of man. And therefore I am psyker that this may not be without a great token. There be also in that country a kind of snails that be so great that many persons may lodge them in their shells, as men would do in a little house. And other snails there be that be full great, but not so huge as the other. And of these snails and of great white worms that have black heads that be as great as a man's thigh, and some less as great worms that men find there in woods, men make viand royal for the king and for other great lords. And if a man that is married die in that country, men bury his wife with him all quick, for men say there that it is reason that she make him company in that other world as she did in this. From that country men go by the sea ocean by an isle that is clept Caphalos. Men of that country, when their friends be sick, they hang them upon trees and say that it is better that birds that be angels of God eat them than the foul worms of the earth. From that isle men go to another isle where the folk be of full cursed kind. For they nourish great dogs and teach them to strangle their friends when they be sick. For they will not that they die of kindly death. For they say that they should suffer too great pain if they abide to die by themselves as nature would. And when they be thus enstrangled, they eat their flesh instead of venison. Afterward men go by many isles by sea unto an isle that men cleep milk. And there is a full cursed people. For they delight in nothing more than for to fight and to slay men. And they drink gladliest man's blood, the which they cleeped ye. And the more men that a man may slay, the more worship he hath amongst them. And if two persons be at debate and peradventure be accorded by their friends or by some of their alliance, it behoveth that every of them that shall be accorded drink of others' blood. And else the accord ne the alliance is not worth, ne it shall not be no reproof to him to break the alliance and the accord, but if every of them drink of others' blood. And from that isle men go by sea from isle to isle unto an isle that is clept Trachoda, where the folk of that country be as beasts and unreasonable, and dwell in caves that they make in the earth, for they have no wit to make them houses. And when they see any man passing through their countries, they hide them in their caves. And they eat flesh of serpents, and they eat but little. And they speak not, but they hiss, as serpents do. And they set no price by no of warni riches, but only of a precious stone that is amongst them that is of 60 colors. And for the name of the isle, they cleep at Trachoden. And they love more that stone than anything else, and yet they know not the virtue thereof, but they covet it and love it only for the beauty. After that isle men go by the sea ocean, by many isles, unto an isle that is clept Nacumura, that is a great isle and good and fair. And it is in compass about more than 1,000 mile. And all the men and women of that isle have hounds' heads, and they be clept Sinosphales. And they be full reasonable and of good understanding, save that they worship an ox for their god. And also every one of them beareth an ox of gold or of silver in his forehead, in token that they love well their god. And they go all naked save a little clout that they cover with their knees and their members. They be great folk and well fighting. And they have a great targe that covereth all the body, and a spear in their hand to fight with. And if they take any man in battle, anon they eat him. The king of that isle is full rich and full mighty and right, devout after his law. And he hath about his neck 300 pearls, orient, good and great and knotted, as paternosters here of amber, and in manner as we say our paternoster and our Ave Maria, counting the paternosters, right so. This king saith every day devoutly 300 prayers to his God, or that he eat. And he beareth also about his neck a ruby orient, noble and fine, that is a foot of length and 5 fingers large. And when they choose their king, they take him that ruby to bear in his hand, and so they lead him, riding all about the city. And from thence fromward they be all obeisant to him. And that ruby he shall bear always about his neck, for if he had not that ruby upon him, men would not hold him for king. The great Chan of Cathay hath greatly coveted that ruby, but he might never have it for war, ne for no manner of goods. This king is so rightful and of equity in his dooms, that men may go sikerly throughout all his country and bear with them what them list, that no man shall be hardy to rob them, and if he were, the king would justified anon. From this land men go to another isle that is clept, Silha, and it is well at 800 miles about. In that land is full much waste, for it is full of serpents, of dragons, and of cockadrills, that no man dare dwell there. These cockadrills be serpents, yellow and rayed above, and have 4 feet and short thighs, and great nails as claws or talons, and there be some that have 5 fathoms in length, and some of 6, and of 8, and of 10, and when they go by places that be gravelly, it seemeth as though men had drawn a great tree through the gravelly place. And there be also many wild beasts, and namely of elephants. In that isle is a great mountain, and in mid-place of the mount is a great lake in a full fair plain, and there is great plenty of water. And they of the country say that Adam and Eve wept upon that mount 100 years when they were driven out of paradise, and that water, they say, is of their tears, for so much water they wept that made the foresaid lake. And in the bottom of that lake men find many precious stones and great pearls. In that lake grow many reeds and great canes, and there within be many cockadrills and serpents and great water leeches. And the king of that country once, every year, giveth leave to poor men to go into the lake to gather them precious stones and pearls by way of alms for the love of God that made Adam. And all the year men find enough, and for the vermin that is within, they anoint their arms and their thighs and legs with an ointment made of a thing that is clept lemons, that is a manner of fruit like small peas, and then have they no dread of no cockadrills, ni of none other venomous vermin. This water runneth, flowing and ebbing, by a side of the mountain, and in that river men find precious stones and pearls great plenty. And men of that isle say, commonly, that the serpents and the wild beasts of that country will not do no harm ni touch with evil no strange man that entereth into that country, but only to men that be born of the same country. In that country and others thereabout there be wild geese that have 2 heads. And there be lions, all white and as great as oxen, and many other diverse beasts and fowls also that be not seen amongst us. And wit well that in that country and in other isles, thereabout the sea is so high that it seemeth as though it hung at the clouds, and that it would cover all the world. And that is great marvel that it might be so, save only the will of God that the air sustaineth it. And therefore saith David, in the Psalter, Mirabile's Elations Maris, chapter XXII, how men know by the idol, if the sick shall die or not, of folk of diverse shape and marvelously disfigured, and of the monks that gave their relief to baboons, apes, and marmosets, and to other beasts. From that isle in going by sea toward the south is another great isle that is clept, Dondon. In that isle be folk of diverse kinds, so that the father eateth the son the father, the husband the wife, and the wife the husband. And if it so befall that the father or mother or any of their friends be sick anon, the son goeth to the priest of their law and prayeth him to ask the idol if his father or mother or friend shall die on that evil or not. And then the priest and the son go together before the idol and kneel full devoutly and ask of the idol their demand. And if the devil that is within answer that he shall live, they keep him well, and if he say that he shall die, then the priest goeth with the son, with the wife of him that is sick, and they put their hands upon his mouth and stop his breath, and so they slay him. And after that they chop all the body in small pieces and pray all his friends to come and eat of him that is dead. And they send for all the minstrels of the country and make a solemn feast. And when they have eaten the flesh, they take the bones and bury them and sing and make great melody. And all those that be of his kin or pretend them to be his friends, and they come not to that feast, they be reproved forevermore and shamed and make great dole, for never after shall they be holden as friends. And they say also that men eat their flesh for to deliver them out of pain, for if the worms of the earth eat them, the soul should suffer great pain, as they say. And namely, when the flesh is tender and meager, then say their friends that they do great sin to let them have so long languor to suffer so much pain, without reason. And when they find the flesh fat, then they say that it is well done to send them soon to paradise, and that they have not suffered him too long to endure in pain. The king of this isle is a full great lord and a mighty, and hath under him 54 great isles that give tribute to him. And in everych of these isles is a king crowned, and all be obeisant to that king. And he hath in those isles many diverse folk. In one of these isles be folk of great stature, as giants, and they be hideous for to look upon. And they have but one eye, and that is in the middle of the front. And they eat nothing but raw flesh and raw fish. And in another isle toward the south dwell folk of foul stature and of cursed kind that have no heads. and there I'n be in their shoulders, and in another I'll be folk that have the face all flat, all plain, without nose and without mouth. But they have two. Small holes all round instead of their eyes and their mouth is, plat also without lips, and in another I'll be folk of foul fashion and shape that, have the lip above the mouth so great that when they sleep in, the sun they cover all the face with that lip, and in another I'll there be little folk as dwarfs, and they be too so much as the pygmies, and they have no mouth, but instead of their mouth they have a little round hole, and when they shall eat or drink they take through a pipe or a pen, or such a thing, and suck it in, for they have no tongue, and therefore they speak not, but they make a manner of hissing as an adder doth, and they make signs one to another as monks do, by the which every of them understandeth other. And in another I'll be folk that have great ears and long, that hang down to their knees, and in another I'll be folk that have horses, feet, and they be strong and mighty and swift runners, for they take wild beasts with running and eat them. And in another I'll be folk that go upon their hands and their feet as beasts, and they be all skinned and feathered, and they will leap as lightly into trees and from tree to tree as it were squirrels or apes. And in another I'll be folk that be both man and woman, and they have kind of that one and of that other. And they have but one pap on the one side and on that other none, and they have members of generation of man and woman, and they use both when they list, once that one, and another time that other. And they get children when they use the member of man, and they bear children when they use the member of woman, and in another I'll be folk that go always upon their knees, full marvelously. And at every pace that they go, it seemeth that they would fall. And they have in every foot 8 toes. Many other diverse folk of diverse natures be there in other isles, about of the which it were too long to tell, and therefore I pass over shortly. From these isles, in passing by the sea ocean toward the east, by many journeys, men find a great country and a great kingdom, that men cleep Mansi. And that is in the more, and it is the best land and one the fairest that may be in all the world, and the most delectable and the most plenteous of all goods that is in power of man. In that land dwell many Christian men and Saracens, for it is a good country and a great, and there be therein more than 2,000 great cities and rich without other great towns, and there is more plenty of people there than in any other part of Ind for the bounty of the country. In that country is no needy man, ne none that goeth on begging, and they be full fair folk, but they be all pale, and the men have thin beards and few hairs, but they be long, but uneth hath any man passing 50 hairs in his beard, and one hair sits here, another there, as the beard of a leopard or of a cat. In that land be many fairer women than in any other country beyond the sea, and therefore men cleep that land Albany, because that the folk be white, and the chief city of that country is clept Latoran, and it is a journey from the sea, and it is much more than Paris. In that city is a great river bearing ships that go to all the coasts in the sea. No city of the world is so well stored of ships as is that, and all those of the city and of the country worship idols. In that country be double scythes, more birds than be here. There be white geese red about the neck, and they have a great crest as a cock's comb upon their heads, and they be much more there than they be here, and men buy them there all quick right great cheap. And there is great plenty of adders, of whom men make great feasts and eat them at great solemnities, and he that maketh there a feast, be it never so costly, and he have no adders, he hath no thank for his travail. Many good cities there be in that country, and men have great plenty and great cheap of all wines and victuals. In that country be many churches of religious men and of their law, and in those churches be idols as great as giants, and to these idols they give to eat at great festival days in this manner. They bring before them meat all sodden as hot as they come from the fire, and they let the smoke go up towards the idols, and then they say that the idols have eaten, and then the religious men eat the meat afterwards. In that country be white hens without feathers, but they bear white wool as sheep do here. In that country women that be unmarried, they have tokens on their heads like coronals to be known for unmarried. Also in that country there be beasts, taught of men to go into waters, into rivers, and into deep stanks for to take fish, the which beast is but little, and men cleep them loirs. And when men cast them into the water, anon they bring up great fishes, as many as men will. And if men will have more, they cast them in again, and they bring up as many as men list to have. And from that city passing many journeys is another city, one the greatest of the world, that men cleep casse, that is to say, the city of heaven. That city is well a 50 mile about, and it is strongly inhabited with people, insomuch that in one house men make 10 households. In that city be 12 principal gates, and before every gate a 3 mile or a 4 mile in length is a great town or a great city, that city sits upon a great lake on the sea as doth Venice. And in that city be more than 12,000 bridges. And upon every bridge be strong towers and good, in the which dwell the wardens for to keep the city from the great Chan. And on that one, part of the city runneth a great river all along the city, and there dwell Christian men and many merchants and other folk of diverse nations, because that the land is so good and so plenteous. And there groweth full good wine that men cleep. Bigon, that is full mighty and gentle in drinking. This is a city royal where the king of Mancy was wont to dwell. And there dwell many religious men, as it were of the order of friars, for they be mendicants. From that city men go by water, solacing and disporting them, till they come to an abbey of monks that is fast by, that be good religious men after their faith and law. In that abbey is a great garden and a fair, where be many trees of diverse manner of fruits. And in this garden is a little hill full of delectable trees. In that hill and in that garden be many diverse beasts, as of apes, marmosets, baboons, and many other diverse beasts. And every day when the convent of this abbey hath eaten, the almoner let bear the relief to the garden, and he smiteth on the garden gate with a clicket of silver that he holdeth in his hand, and anon all the beasts of the hill and of diverse places of the garden come out a 3,000, or a 4,000, and they come in guise of poor men, and men give them the relief in fair vessels of silver clean overgilt. And when they have eaten, the monk smiteth eftsoons on the garden gate with the clicket, and then anon all the beasts return again to their places that they come from. And they say that these beasts be souls of worthy men that resemble in likeness of those beasts that be fair, and therefore they give them meat for the love of God. And the other beasts that be foul, they say be souls of poor men and of rude commons. And thus they believe, and no man may put them out of this opinion. These beasts, above said, they let take when they be young and nourish them so, with alms as many as they may find. And I ask them if it had not been better to have given that relief to poor men, rather than to those beasts. And they answered me and said that they had no poor men amongst them in that country, and though it had been so that poor men had been among them, yet were it greater alms to give it to those souls that do their penance. Many other marvels be in that city and in the country thereabout that were too long to tell you. From that city go men by the country a 6 journeys to another city that men cleep Chilenfo, of the which city the walls be 20 mile about. In that city be 60 bridges of stone, so fair that no man may see fairer. In that city was the first siege of the king of Mancy, for it is a fair and plenteous, of all goods. After, pass men overthwart a great river that men cleep Dale. And that is the greatest river of fresh water that is in the world. For there, as it is most narrow, it is more than 4 mile of breadth. And then enter men again into the land of the great Chan. That river goeth through the land of pygmies, where that the folk be of little stature, that be but 3 span long, and they be right fair and gentle after their quantities, both the men and the women. And they marry them when they be half year of age and get children. And they live not but 6 year or 7 at the most, and he that lived 8 year, men hold him, they're right passing old. These men be the best workers of gold, silver, cotton, silk, and of all such things of any other that be in the world. And they have oftentimes war with the birds of the country that they take and eat. This little folk neither labor in lands nor in vines, but they have great men amongst them of our stature that till the land and labor amongst the vines for them. And of those men of our stature have they as great scorn and wonder as we would have among us of giants if they were amongst us. There is a good city, amongst others, where there is dwelling great plenty of those little folk, and it is a great city and a fair. And the men be great that dwell amongst them, but when they get any children, they be as little as the pygmies. And therefore they be, all for the most part, all pygmies, for the nature of the land is such. The great Chan let keep this city full well for it is his, and albeit that the pygmies be little, yet they be full reasonable after their age, and can both wit and good and malice enough. From that city go men by the country by many cities and many towns unto a city that men cleep Jamche, and it is a noble city, and a rich and of great profit to the Lord, and thither go men to seek merchandise of all manner of thing. That city is full, much worth yearly to the Lord of the country, for he hath every year to rent of that city, as they of the city say, 50,000 cumens of florins of gold, for they count there all by cumens, and every cumen is 10,000 florins of gold. Now may men, well, reckon how much that it amounteth. The king of that country is full mighty, and yet he is under the great Chan. And the great Chan hath under him 12 such provinces. In that country in the good towns is a good custom, for whoso will make a feast to any of his friends there. B be certain inns in every good town, and he that will make the feast will say to the hosteler, Array for me tomorrow a good dinner for so many folk, and telleth him the number, and deviseth him the viands, and he saith also, Thus much I will dispend, and no more. And anon the hosteler arrayeth for him so fair and so well and so honestly, that there shall lack nothing, and it shall be done sooner and with less cost than in a man made it in his own house. And a 5 mile from that city, toward the head of the river of Dale, is another city that men cleep Mank. In that city is strong navy of ships, and all be white as snow of the kind of the trees that they be made of. And they be full great ships and fair and well ordained and made with halls and chambers and other easements as though it were on the land. From thence go men by many towns and many cities through the country unto a city that men cleep Lanterine, and it is in 8 journeys from the city above said. This city sits upon a fair river great and broad that men cleep Caramarin. This river passeth throughout Cathay, and it doth oftentime harm, and that full great when it is over great. Chapter XXII of the great Chan of Cathay, of the royalty of his palace, and how he sits at meat, and of the great number of officers that serve him. Cathay is a great country and a fair, noble and rich and full of merchants. Thither go merchants all years for to seek spices and all manner of merchandises more commonly than in any other part. And ye shall understand that merchants that come from Genoa or from Venice or from Romania or other parts of Lombardy, they go by sea and by land 11 months or 12 or more sometime ere they may come to the Isle of Cathay, that is the principal region of all parts beyond, and it is of the great Chan. From Cathay go men toward the east by many journeys. And then men find a good city between these others, that men cleep, Sugar Mago. That city is one of the best stored of silk and other merchandises that is in the world. After go men yet to another old city toward the east, and it is in the province of Cathay. And beside that city, the men of Tartary have let make another city that is department, Cadon. And it hath 12 gates, and between the 2 gates there is always a great mile, so that the 2 cities, that is to say the old and the new, have in circuit more than 20 mile. In this city is the siege of the great Chan in a full great palace, and the most passing fair in all the world, of the which the walls be in circuit more than 2 mile. And within the walls it is all full of other palaces. And in the garden of the great palace there is a great hill, upon the which there is another palace, and it is the most fair and the most rich that any man may devise. And all about the palace and the hill be many trees bearing many diverse fruits. And all about that hill be ditches great and deep, and beside them be great viveries on that one part and on that other. And there is a full fair bridge to pass over the ditches. And in these viveries be so many wild geese and ganders and wild ducks and swans and herons that it is without number. And all about these ditches and viveries is the great garden full of wild beasts. So that when the great Chan will have any disport on that to take any of the wild beasts or of the fowls, he will let chase them and take them at the windows without going out of his chamber. This palace where his siege is both great and passing fair, and within the palace in the hall there be 24 pillars of fine gold, and all the walls be covered within of red skins of beasts that men cleep panthers that be fair beasts and well smelling, so that for the sweet odor of those skins no evil air may enter into the palace. Those skins be as red as blood, and they shine so bright against the sun that unneath no man may behold them. And many folk worship those beasts when they meet them first at morning for their great virtue and for the good smell that they have. And those skins they prize more than though they were plate of fine gold. And in the midst of this palace is the mounter for the great Chan, that is all wrought of gold and of precious stones and great pearls. And at 4 corners of the mounter be 4 serpents of gold. And all about there is why made large nets of silk and gold and great pearls hanging all about the mounter. And under the mounter be conduits of beverage that they drink in the emperor's court. And beside the conduits be many vessels of gold by the which they that be of household drink at the conduit. And the hall of the palace is full nobly arrayed and full marvelously attired on all parts in all things that men apparel with any hall. And first at the chief of the hall is the emperor's throne, full high, where he sitteth at the meat. And that is of fine precious stones, bordered all about with pured gold and precious stones and great pearls. And the grease that he goeth up to the table be of precious stones mingled with gold. And at the left side of the emperor's siege is the siege of his first wife, 1 degree lower than the emperor, and it is of jasper, bordered with gold and precious stones. And the siege of his second wife is also another siege, more lower than his first wife, and it is also of jasper, bordered with gold, as that other is. And the siege of the third wife is also more, lo, by a degree, than the second wife. For he hath always three wives with him where that ever he be, and after his wives on the same side sit the ladies of his lineage, yet lower after that they be of estate. And all those that be married have a counterfeit made like a man's foot upon their heads, a cubit long, all wrought with great pearls fine. An orient and above made with peacock's feathers and of other shining feathers, and that stands upon their heads like a crest in token that they be under man's foot and under subjection of man. And they that be unmarried have none such, and after at the right side of the emperor first sitteth his eldest son that shall reign after him. And he sitteth also, one degree lower than the emperor, in such manner of sieges as do the empresses. And after him sit other great lords of his lineage, every of them a degree lower than the other, as they be of estate. And the emperor hath his table alone by himself, that is of gold and of precious stones, or of crystal bordered with gold, and full of precious stones, or of amethysts, or of lignum aloes, that cometh out of paradise, or of ivory bound or bordered with gold. And every one of his wives hath also her table by herself, and his eldest son and the other lords also, and the ladies and all that sit with the emperor have tables alone, by themselves, full rich. And there knee is no table but that it is worth an huge treasure of goods, and under the emperor's table sit four clerks that write. All that the emperor saith, be it good, be it evil, for all that he saith must be holden, for he may not change his word, nor revoke it, and at great solemn feasts before the emperor's table, men bring great tables of gold, and thereon be peacocks of gold, and many other manner of diverse fowls, all of gold and richly wrought and enameled. And men make them dance and sing, clapping their wings together, and make great noise. And whether it be by craft or by necromancy, I wot never, but it is a good sight to behold and a fair, and it is great marvel how it may be. But I have the less marvel because that they be the most subtle men in all sciences and in all crafts that be in the world. For of subtlety and of malice and of farcasting they pass all men under heaven. And therefore they say themselves that they see with two eyes and the Christian men see, but with one, because that they be more subtle than they. For all other nations, they say, be but blind and cunning and working in comparison to them. I did great business for two, have learned that craft, but the master told me that he had made a vow to his God to teach it to no creature, but only to his eldest son. Also above the emperor's table and the other tables, and above a great part in the hall, is a vine made of fine gold, and it spreadeth all about the hall, and it hath many clusters of grapes, some white, some green, some yellow, and some red and some black, all of precious stones. The white be of crystal and of beryl and of iris, the yellow be of topazes, the red be of rubies and of grenas and of alabrandines, the green be of emeralds, of peridots and of chrysolites, and the black be of onyx and garantes. And they be also properly made that it seemeth a very vine bearing kindly grapes. And before the emperor's table stand great lords and rich barons and other that serve the emperor at the meat. And no man is so hardy to speak a word, but if the emperor speak to him, but if it be minstrels that sing songs and tell jests or other disports to solace with the emperor. And all the vessels that men be served within the hall or in chambers be of precious stones, and specially at great tables either of jasper, or of crystal, or of amethysts, or of fine gold. And the cups be of emeralds and of sapphires, or of topazes, of peridots, and of many other precious stones. Vessels of silver is there none, for they tell no price thereof to make no vessels of, but they make thereof greasings and pillars and pavements to halls and chambers. And before the hall door stand many barons and knights clean armed to keep that no man enter, but if it be the will or the commandment of the emperor, or but if they be servants or minstrels of the household, and other none is not so hardy to nay in nigh the hall door, and ye shall understand that my fellows and I with our yeomen, we served this emperor and were his soldiers 15 months against the king of Mansi that held against him, and the cause was for we had great lust to see his noblesse and the state of his court and all his governance, to wit if it were such as we heard say that it was. And truly we found it more noble and more excellent and richer and more marvelous than ever we heard speak of, insomuch that we would never have leaved it had we not seen it. For I trow that no man would believe the noblesse, the riches, nay the multitude of folk that be in his court, but he had seen it, for it is not there as it is here. For the lords here have folk of certain number as they may suffice, but the great Chan hath every day folk at his costage and expense as without number. But the ordinance, nay the expenses in meat and drink, ni the honesty, ni the cleanness is not so arrayed there as it is here, for all the commons there eat without cloth upon their knees, and they eat all manner of flesh and little of bread, and after meat they wipe their hands upon their skirts, and they eat not but once a day. But the estate of lords is full great, and rich and noble, and albeit that some men will not trow me, but hold it for fable to tell them the noblesse of his person and of his estate, and of his court, and of the great multitude of folk that he holds, nathels I shall say you a part of him and of his folk. After that I have seen the manor and the ordinance full many a time. And whoso that will may leave me if he will, and whoso will not may leave also. For I wot well, if any man hath been in those countries beyond, though he have not been in, the place where the great Chan dwelleth, he shall hear speak of him so much marvelous thing that he shall not trow it lightly. And truly no more did I myself till I saw it. And those that have been in those countries and in the great Chan's household know well that I say sooth, and therefore I will not spare for them that know not ni believe. Not but that they see, for to tell you a part of him and of his estate that he holdeth when he goeth from country to country, and when he maketh solemn feasts. Chapter XXIV, wherefore he has clept the great Chan, of the style of his letters, and of the superscription about his great seal and his privy seal. First, I shall say you why he was clept the great Chan. Ye shall understand that all the world was destroyed by Noah's flood, save only Noah and his wife and his children. Noah had three sons, Shem, Cam, and Japhet. This Cam was he that saw his father's privy members naked when he slept, and scorned them, and showed them with his finger to his brethren in scorning wise. And therefore he was cursed of God. And Japhet turned his face away and covered them. These three brethren had season in all the land. And this Cam, for his cruelty, took the greater and the best part toward the east, that is, clept Asia, and Shem took Africa, and Japhet took Europe. And therefore is all the earth parted in these three parts by these three brethren. Cam was the greatest and the most mighty, and of him came more generations than of the other. And of his son Chus was engendered Nimrod the giant, that was the first king that ever was in the world, and he began the foundation of the Tower of Babylon. And that time the fiends of hell came many times and lay with the women of his generation, and engendered on them diverse folk, as monsters and folk disfigured, some without heads, some with great ears, some with one eye, some giants, some with horses' feet, and many other diverse shape against kind. And of that generation of Cam become the Paynims, and divers folk that be in isles of the sea by all and and. Forasmuch as he was the most mighty, and no man might withstand him, he cleped himself the Son of God and Sovereign of all the world. And for this Cam, this emperor cleepeth him Cam, and Sovereign of all the world, and of the generation of Shem become the Saracens. And of the generation of Japhet is come the people of Israel. And though that we dwell in Europe, this is the opinion that the Syrians and the Samaritans have amongst them. And that they told me before that I went toward Ind, but I found it otherwise. Nathels, the sooth is this, that Tartars and they that dwell in the great Asia, they came of Cam, but the emperor of Cathay cleepeth him not Cam, but Can, and I shall tell you how. It is but little more but 80 years that all Tartary was in subjection and in servage to other nations about. For they were but bestial folk, and did nothing but kept beasts, and led them to pastures. But among them they had 7 principal nations that were sovereigns of them all. Of the which the first nation or lineage was clept Tartar, and that is the most noble and the most prized. The second lineage is clept Tanghat, the third Urake, the fourth Valair, the fifth Semach, the sixth Megli, the seventh Kabog. Now befell it so that of the first lineage succeeded an old worthy man that was not rich, that had to name Changais. This man lay upon a night in his bed, and he saw in a vision that there came before him a knight armed all in white, and he sat upon a white horse, and said to him, Can, sleepest thou? The immortal God hath sent me to thee, and it is his will that thou go to the 7 lineages and say to them that thou shalt be their emperor. For thou shalt conquer the lands and the countries that be about, and they that march upon you shall be under your subjection, as ye have been under theirs, for that is God's will immortal. And when he came at morrow, Changais rose and went to 7 lineages and told them how the white knight had said. And they scorned him and said that he was a fool. And so he departed from them all ashamed. And the night ensuing this, white knight came to the 7 lineages and commanded them on God's behalf immortal that they should make this Changais their emperor, and they should be out of subjection, and they should hold all other regions about them in their servage as they had been to them before. And on the morrow they chose him to be their emperor. And they set him upon a black furder, and after that they lift him up with great solemnity. And they set him in a chair of gold and did him all manner of reverence, and they cleped him Chan, as the White Knight called him. And when he was thus chosen, he would assay if he might trust in them or no, and whether they would be obeisant to him or no. And then he made many statutes and ordinances that they cleep Usia Chan. The first statute was that they should believe and obey in God immortal that is almighty that would cast them out of servage and at all times cleep to him for help in time of need. The t'other statute was that all manner of men that might bear arms should be numbered, and to every 10 should be a master, and to every 100 a master, and to every 1,000 a master, and to every 10,000 a master. After he commanded to the principals of the 7 lineages that they should leave and forsake all that they had in goods and heritage, and from thenceforth to hold them paid of, that he would give them of his grace. And they did so, anon. After he commanded to the principals of the 7 lineages that every of them should bring his eldest son before him, and with their own hands smite off their heads without tarrying. And anon his commandment was performed. And when the Chan saw that they made none obstacle to perform his commandment, then he thought well that he might trust in them, and commanded them anon to make them ready and to sue his banner. And after this, Chan put in subjection all the lands about him. Afterward it befell upon a day that the Chan rode with a few, many for to behold the strength of the country that he had won. And so befell that a great multitude of enemies met with him, and for to give good example hardiness to his people, he was the first that fought, and in the midst of his enemies encountered, and there he was cast from his horse, and his horse slain. And when his folk saw him at the earth, they were all abashed, and weened he had been dead, and flew every one and their enemies after and chased them, but they wist not that the emperor was there. And when the enemies were far pursuing the chase, the emperor hid him in a thick wood, and wet they were come again from the chase, they went and sought the woods, if any of them had been hid in the thick of the woods, and many they found and slew them anon. So it happened that as they went searching toward the place that the emperor was, they saw an owl sitting upon a tree above him, and then they said amongst them that there was no man, because that they saw that bird there, and so they went their way, and thus escaped the emperor from death. And then he went privily all by night, till he came to his folk that were full glad of his coming, and made great thankings to God immortal, and to that bird by whom their Lord was saved. And therefore, principally above all fowls of world, they worship the owl, and when they have any of their feathers, they keep them full preciously instead of relics, and bear them upon their heads with great reverence. And they hold themselves blessed and safe from all perils while that they have them upon them, and therefore they bear their feathers upon their heads. After all this, the Chan ordained him, and assembled his people, and went upon them that had assailed him before, and destroyed them, and put them in subjection and servage. And when he had won and put all the lands and countries on this half, the Mount Balian in subjection, the White Knight came to him again in his sleep, and said to him, Chan, the will of God immortal is that thou pass the Mount Balian, and thou shalt win the land, and thou shalt put many nations in subjection, and for thou shalt find no good passage for to go toward that country. Go to the Mount Balian that is upon the sea, and kneel there 9 times toward the east in the worship of God immortal, and he shall show the way to pass by. And the Chan did so. And anon the sea that touched and was fast to the mount began to withdraw him, and showed fair way of 9 foot breadth, large. And so he passed with his folk, and won the land of Cathay, that is the greatest kingdom of the world, and for the 9 kneelings, and for the 9 foot of way, the Chan and all the men of Tartary have the number of 9 in great reverence. And therefore, who that will make the Chan any present, be it of horses, be it of birds, or of arrows or bows, or of fruit, or of any other thing, always he must make it of the number of 9. And so then be the presents of greater pleasure to him, and more benignly he will receive them than though he were presented with 100 or 200. For him seemeth the number of 9 so holy, because the messenger of God immortal devised it. Also, when the Chan of Cathay had won the country of Cathay, and put in subjection and underfoot many countries about, he fell sick. And when he felt well that he should die, he said to his 12 sons that everych of them should bring him one of his arrows. And so they did anon. And then he commanded that men should bind them together in 3 places. And then he took them to his eldest son, and bade him break them all together. And he enforced him with all his might to break them, but he knee might not. And then the Chan bade his second son to break them, and so shortly to all, each after other, but none of them might break them. And then he bade the youngest son dissever every one from other, and break everych by himself. And so he did. And then said the Chan to his eldest son and to all the others, wherefore might ye not break them? And they answered that they might not because that they were bound together, and wherefore? Quoth he, hath your little youngest brother broken them, because, quoth they, that they were parted each from other. And then said the Chan, my sons, quoth he, truly thus will it fare by you. For as long as ye be bound together in three places, that is to say, in love, in truth, and in good accord, no man shall be of power to grieve you. But in ye be dissevered from these three places, that your one help not your other, ye shall be destroyed and brought to naught. And if each of you love other and help other, ye shall be lords and sovereigns of all others. And when he had made his ordinances, he died, and then after him reigned Echechachane, his eldest son. And his other brethren went to win them many countries and kingdoms, unto the land of Prussia and of Russia, and made themselves to be clept chain, but they were all obeisant to their elder brother, and therefore was he clept the great. Chan, after Ekecha reigned Guyo Chan. And after him Mango Chan, that was a good Christian man, and baptized and gave letters of perpetual peace to all Christian men, and sent his brother Halyan with great multitude of folk for to win the holy land, and for to put it into Christian men's hands, and for to destroy Mahomet's law, and for to take the Caliph of Baghdad, that was emperor and lord of all the Saracens. And when this Caliph was taken, men found him of so high worship, that in all the remnant of the world, ne might a man find a more reverend man, ne higher in worship. And then Halyan made him come before him, and said to him, why, quoth he, hadst thou not taken with thee more soldiers and men, enough for a little quantity of treasure, for to defend thee and thy country, that art so abundant of treasure and so high in all worship? And the Caliph answered him, for he well trode that he had enough of his own proper men. And then said Halyan, thou wert as a god of the Saracens, and it is convenient to a god to eat no meat that is mortal. And therefore thou shalt not eat but precious stones, rich pearls, and treasure that thou lovest so much. And then he commanded him to prison, and all his treasure about him, and so he died for hunger and thirst. And then after this, Halyan won all the land of Promotion, and put it into Christian men's hands. But the great Chan, his brother, died, and that was great sorrow and loss to all Christian men. After Mango Chan reigned Kabbala Chan, that was also a Christian man, and he reigned 42 years. He founded the great city Izunj in Cathay, that is a great deal more than Rome. The t'other great Chan that came after him became a Paynim, and all the others after him. The kingdom of Cathay is the greatest realm of the world. And also the great Chan is the most mighty emperor of the world, and the greatest lord under the firmament. And so he cleepeth him in his letters, write thus, Chan, filius Dei excelsi, omnium universum terram colentium, summus imperator, and dominus omnium dominantium. And the letter of his great seal written about is this, Deus in silo, Chan super terram, ejus fortitudo, omnium hominem imperatoris, sigillum. And the superscription about his little seal is this, Dei fortitudo, omnium hominem imperatoris, sigillum. And albeit that they be not christened, yet nevertheless the emperor and all the Tartars believe in God immortal. And when they will menace any man, then they say, God knoweth well that I shall do thee such a thing, and telleth his menace. And thus have ye heard why he is clept the great Chan, chapter XXV, of the governance of the great Chan's court, and when he maketh solemn feasts, of his philosophers, and of his array, when he rideth by the country. Now shall I tell you the governance of the court of the great Chan, when he maketh solemn feasts, and that is principally four times in the year. The first feast is of his birth, that other is of his presentation in their temple, that they cleep their mosach, where they make a manner of circumcision, and the t'other two feasts be of his idols. The first feast of the idol is when he is first put into their temple and throned. The t'other feast is when the idol beginneth first to speak, or to work miracles. More be there not of solemn feasts, but if he marry any of his children. Now understand that at every of these feasts he hath great multitude of people, well ordained and well arrayed, by thousands, by hundreds, and by tens. And every man knoweth well what service he shall do, and every man giveth so good heed and so good attendance to his service, that no man findeth no default. And there be first ordained 4,000 barons, mighty and rich, for to govern and to make ordinance for the feast, and for to serve the emperor. And these solemn feasts be made without in halls and tents made of cloths of gold and of Tartaries full nobly. And all those barons have crowns of gold upon their heads, full noble and rich, full of precious stones and great pearls orient. And they be all clothed in cloths of gold, or of Tartaries, or of Kamakas, so richly and so perfectly, that no man in the world can amend it, ne better devise it. And all those robes be orfrayed all about, and dubbed full of precious stones and of great orient pearls, full richly. and they may well do so for cloths of gold and of silk be greater cheap there a great deal than be cloths of wool. And these 4,000 barons be devised in 4 companies, and every 1,000 is clothed in cloths all of one color, and that so well arrayed and so richly that it is marvel to behold. The 1,000, that is of dukes, of earls, of marquises, and of admirals, all clothed in cloths of gold, with tissues of green silk, and bordered with gold full of precious stones in manner as I have said before. The 2,000 is all, clothed in cloths diapered of red silk, all wrought with gold, and the orphreys set full of great pearl and precious stones, full, nobly wrought. The 3,000 is clothed in cloths of silk, of purple or of ind, and the 4,000 is in cloths of yellow. And all their clothes be so nobly and so richly wrought with gold and precious stones and rich pearls, that if a man of this country had but only one of their robes, he might well say that he should never be poor, for the gold and the precious stones and the great orient pearls be of greater value on this half the sea than they be beyond the sea in those countries. And when they be thus apparelled, they go two and two together full ordinately before the emperor without speech of any word save only inclining to him. And every one of them beareth a tablet of jasper or of ivory or of crystal, and the minstrels going before them, sounding their instruments of diverse melody. And when the 1,000 is thus passed, and hath made his muster, he withdraweth him on that one side, and then entereth that other 2,000, and doth write so. In the same manner of array and countenance is did the first, and after the third, and then the fourth, and none of them saith not one word. And at one side of the emperor's table sit many philosophers that be proved for wise men in many diverse sciences, as of astronomy, necromancy, geomancy, pyromancy, hydromancy, of augury, and of many other sciences. And everych of them have before them astrolabes of gold, some spheres, some the brain pan of a dead man, some vessels of gold, full of gravel or sand, some vessels of gold full of coals, burning, some vessels of gold full of water and of wine and of oil, and some horologes of gold made full nobly and richly wrought, and many other manner of instruments after their sciences. And at certain hours, when them thinketh time, they say to certain officers that stand before them, ordained for the time to fulfill their commandments, make peace, and then say the officers, now peace. Listen, and after that saith another of the philosophers, every man do reverence and incline to the emperor that is God's son and sovereign lord of all the world. For now is time, and then every man boweth his head toward the earth, and then commandeth the same philosopher again, stand up. And they do so, and at another hour saith another philosopher, put your little finger in your ears. And anon they do so, and at another hour saith another philosopher, put your hand before your mouth. And anon they do so, and at another hour saith another philosopher, put your hand upon your head. And after that he biddeth them to do their hand away. And they do so, and so from hour to hour they command certain things, and they say that those things have diverse significations, and I ask them privily what those things betokened. And one of the masters told me that the bowing of the head at that hour betokened this, that all those that bowed their heads should evermore after be obeisant and true to the emperor, and never for gifts ne for promise in no kind to be false ne traitor unto him for good nor evil. And the putting of the little finger in the ear betokeneth, as they say, that none of them ne shall not here speak no contrarious thing to the emperor, but that he shall tell it anon to his council, or discover it to some men that will make relation to the emperor, though he were his father or brother or son. And so forth, of all other things that is done by the philosophers, they told me the causes of many diverse things, and trust right well in certain that no man doth nothing to the emperor that belongeth unto him, neither clothing, ne bread, ne wine, ne bath, ne none other thing that longeth to him, but at certain hours that his philosophers will devise. And if there fall war in any side to the emperor, anon they philosophers come and say their advice after their calculations, and counsel the emperor of their advice by their sciences, so that the emperor doth nothing without their counsel. And when the philosophers have done and performed their commandments, then the minstrels begin to do their minstrelsy, everych in their instruments, each after other, with all the melody that they can devise. And when they have done a good while, one of the officers of the emperor goeth up on a high stage wrought full curiously, and crieth and saith with loud voice, make peace. And then every man is still. And then anon after, all the lords that be of the emperor's lineage, nobly arrayed in rich cloths of gold, and royally apparelled on white steeds, as many as may well sue him at that time, be ready to make their presence to the emperor. And then saith the steward of the court to the lords by name, N of N, and nameth first the most noble and the worthiest by name, and saith, Be ye ready with such a number of white horses, for to serve the emperor, your sovereign lord. And to another lord he saith, Enoven, be ye ready, with such a number to serve your sovereign lord. And to another write so and to all the lords of the emperor. Lineage, each after other as they be of estate. And when they be all cleaped, they enter each after other and present the white horses to the emperor and then go their way. And then after all the other barons, every of them, give him presents, or jewels, or some other thing, after that they be of estate. And then after them, all the prelates of their law, and religious men and others, and every man giveth him something. And when that all men have thus presented the emperor, the greatest of dignity of the prelates giveth him a blessing, saying an orison of their law, and then begin the minstrels to make their minstrelsy in, divers instruments with all the melody that they can devise. And when they have done their craft, then they bring before the emperor lions, leopards, and other diverse beasts, and eagles, and vultures, and other divers fowls, and fishes, and serpents, for to do him reverence. And then come jugglers and enchanters that do many marvels, for they make two come in the air by seeming the sun and the moon to every man's sight. And after they make the night so dark that no man may see nothing. And after they make the day too come again fair and pleasant with bright sun to every man's sight. And then they bring in dances of the fairest damsels of the world and richest arrayed. And after they make to come in other damsels bringing cups of gold, full of milk of diverse beasts, and give drink to lords and to ladies. And then they make knights to joust in arms full, lustily, and they run together a great random, and they frush together full fiercely, and they break their spears so rudely that the truncheons fly in sprouts and pieces all about the hall. And then they make to come in hunting for the hart and for the boar, with hounds running with open mouth. And many other things they do by craft of their enchantments, that it is marvel for to see. And such plays of disport they make till the taking up of the boards. This great Chan hath full great people for to serve him, as I have told you before, for he hath of minstrels the number of 13, cumens, but they abide not always with him. For all the minstrels that come before him, of what nation that they be of, they be withholden with him as of his household, and entered in his books as for his own men. And after that, where that ever they go, evermore they claim for minstrels of the great Chan, and under that title all kings and lords cherish them the more with gifts and all things. And therefore he hath so great multitude of them, and he hath of certain men as though they were yeomen that keep birds as ostriches, gerfalcons, sparrowhawks, falcons, gentle, lanyers, sakers, sacrets, popinjays, well speaking, and bird singing, and also of wild beasts, as of elephants tame, and other baboons, apes, marmosets, and other diverse beasts, the mountants of 15 cumens of yeomen, and of physicians Christian he hath 200, and of leeches that be Christian he hath 210, and of leeches and physicians that be Saracens 20, but he trusteth more in the Christian leeches than in the Saracen. And his other common household is without number, and they all have all necessaries and all that them needeth of the emperor's court. And he hath in his court many barons as servitors that be Christian and converted to good faith by the preaching of religious Christian men that dwell with him. But there be many more that will not, that men know that they be Christian. This emperor may dispend as much as he will without estimation, for he not dispendeth ne maketh no money but of leather imprinted or of paper. And of that money is some of greater price and some of less price after the diversity of his statutes. And when that money hath run so long that it beginneth to waste, then men bear it to the emperor's treasury, and then they take new money for the old. And that money goeth throughout all the country and throughout all his provinces, for there and beyond them they make no money neither of gold nor of silver, and therefore he may dispend enough and outrageously. And of gold and silver that men bear in his country, he maketh silers, pillars, and pavements in his palace, and other diverse things what him liketh. This emperor hath in his chamber, in one of the pillars of gold, a ruby and a carbuncle of half a foot long, that in the night giveth so great clearness and shining that it is as light as day. And he hath many other precious stones and many other rubies and carbuncles, but those be the greatest and the most precious. This emperor dwelleth in summer in a city that is toward the north, that is clept Sadas, and there is cold enough. And in winter he dwelleth in a city that is clept Camalech, and that is an hot country. But the country where he dwelleth in most commonly is in Gado or in Jong, that is a good country and a temperate after that the country is there. But to men of this country it were too passing hot. And when this emperor will ride from one country to another, he ordineth four hosts of his folk, of the which the first host goeth before him a day's journey. For that host shall be lodged the night where the emperor shall lie upon the morrow. and there shall every man have all manner of victual and necessaries that be needful of the emperor. Costage. And in this first host is the number of people, 50 cumens, what of horse, what of foot, of the which every cumen amounteth 10,000, as I have told you before. And another host goeth in the right side of the emperor, nigh half a journey from him, and another goeth on the left side of him in the same wise. And in every host is as much multitude of people as in the first host. And then after cometh the fourth host, that is much more than any of the others, and that goeth behind him the mountains of a bow draft, and every host hath his journeys ordained in certain places, where they shall be lodged at night, and there they shall have all that them needeth. And if it befall that any of the host die, anon they put another in his place, so that the number shall evermore be whole, and ye shall understand that the emperor in his proper person rideth not as other great lords do beyond, but if he list to go privily with few men for to be unknown. And else he rides in a chariot with four wheels, upon the which is made a fair chamber, and it is made of a certain wood that cometh out of paradise terrestrial, that men cleep lignum aloes that the floods of paradise bring out at divers seasons, as I have told you here before. And this chamber is full well smelling, because of the wood that it is made of. And all this chamber is covered within a plate of fine gold dubbed with precious stones and great pearls. And four elephants and four great destriers, all white and covered with rich covertures, leading the chariot. And four or five or six of the greatest lords ride about this chariot, full richly arrayed and full nobly, so that no man shall neigh the chariot, but only those lords, but if that the emperor call any man to him that him list to speak withal. And above the chamber of this chariot, that the emperor sitteth and be set upon a perch four or five or six gerfalcons, to that intent, that when the emperor seeth any wild fowl, that he may take it at his own list, and have the disport and the play of the flight first with one and after with another. And so he taketh his disport passing by the country. And no man rideth before him of his company, but all after him. And no man dare not come nigh the chariot, by a bow draft, but those lords only that be about him, and all the host cometh fairly after him in great multitude. And also such another chariot with such hosts ordained and arrayed go with the empress upon another side, everych by himself with four hosts, right as the emperor did, but not with so great multitude of people. And his eldest son goeth by another way in another chariot in the same manner. So that there is between them so great multitude of folk that it is marvel to tell it. And no man should trow the number, but he had seen it. And sometime it happeth that when he will not go far, and that it like him to have the empress and his children with him, then they go all together, and their folk be all mingled in fear and divided in four parties only. And ye shall understand that the empire of this great Chan is divided in 12 provinces, and every province hath more than 2,000 cities and of towns without number. This country is full great, for it hath 12 principal kings in 12 provinces, and every of those kings have many kings under them, and all they be obeisant to the great Chan. And his land and his lordship dureth so far that a man may not go from one head to another, neither by sea nor land, the space of 7 year. And through the deserts of his lordship there as men may find no towns, there be inns ordained by every journey to receive both man and horse, in the which they shall find plenty of victual and of all things that they need for to go by the country. And there is a marvelous custom in that country, but it is profitable that if any contrarious thing that should be prejudice or grievance to the emperor in any kind, anon the emperor hath tidings thereof and full knowledge in a day, though it be 3 or 4 journeys from him or more. For his ambassadors take their dromedaries or their horses, and they prick in all that ever they may toward one of the inns. And when they come there, anon they blow and horn. And anon they of the inn know well enough that there be tidings to warn the emperor of some rebellion against him. And then anon they make other men ready, in all haste that they may, to bear letters and prick in all that ever they may, till they come to the other inns with their letters. And then they make fresh men ready to prick forth with the letters toward the emperor, while that the last bringer rest him and bait his dromedary or his horse. And so, from inn to inn, till it come to the emperor. And thus anon hath he hasty tidings of anything that beareth charge by his couriers that run so hastily throughout all the country. And also when the emperor sendeth his couriers hastily throughout his land, every one of them hath a large throng full of small bells, and when they neigh near to the inns of other couriers that be also ordained by the journeys, they ring their bells, and anon the other couriers make them ready and run their way unto another inn. And thus runneth one to other full speedily and swiftly, till the emperor's intent be served in all haste, and these couriers be clept chididdo. After their language, that is, to say, a messenger. Also when the emperor goeth from one country to another, as I have told you here before, and he passed through cities and towns, every man maketh a fire before his door, and putteth therein powder of good gums that be sweet-smelling for to make good savor to the emperor. And all the people kneel down against him and do him great reverence. And there, where religious Christian men dwell, as they do in many cities in the land, they go before him with procession with cross and holy water, and they sing, Veni Creator Spiritus, with an high voice, and go towards him. And when he heareth them, he commandeth to his lords to ride beside him, that the religious men may come to him. And when they be nigh him with the cross, then he doth adown his galliot that sits on his head in manner of a chaplet that is made of gold and precious stones and great pearls, and it is so rich that men prize it to the value of a realm in that country. And then he kneeleth to the cross. And then the prelate of the religious men saith before him certain orisons, and giveth him a blessing with the cross, and he inclineth to the blessing full devoutly. And then the prelate giveth him some manner fruit to the number of 9 in a platter of silver, with pears or apples or other manner fruit, and he taketh one, and then men give to the other lords that be about him, for the custom is such that no stranger shall come before him but if he give him some manner thing after the old law that saith, Nemo excedet in conspectu meo vacuus. And then the emperor saith to the religious men that they withdraw them again, that they be neither hurt nor harmed of the great multitude of horses that come behind him. And also in the same manner do the religious men that dwell there to the empresses that pass by them, and to his eldest son. And to every of them they present fruit, and ye shall understand that the people that he hath so many hosts of about him and about his wives and his soil, they dwell not continually with him, but always when him liketh they be sent for. And after when they have done, they return to their own households, save only they that be dwelling with him in household, for to serve him and his wives and his sons, for to govern his household. And albeit that the others be departed from him after that they have performed their service, yet there abideth continually with him in court 50,000 men at horse and 200,000 men afoot, without minstrels and those that keep wild beasts and divers birds, of the which I have told you the number before. Under the firmament is not so great a lord, ni so mighty, ni so rich as is the great Chan, not Prester John, that is emperor of the high end, ni the Soldan of Babylon, ni the emperor of Persia. All these ni be not in comparison to the great Chan, neither of might, ni of noblesse, ni of royalty, ni of riches, for in all these he passeth all earthly princes, wherefore it is great harm that he believeth not faithfully in God. And nathels he will gladly hear speak of God, and he suffereth well that Christian men dwell in his lordship, and that men of his faith be made Christian men if they will, throughout all his country, for he defendeth no man to hold no law other than him liketh. In that country some men hath 100 wives, some 60, some more, some less, and they take the next of their kin to their wives, save only that they outtake their mothers there, daughters and their sisters of the mother's side. But their sisters on the father's side of another woman they may well take, and their brothers' wives also after their death, and their stepmothers also in the same wise. Chapter XXVI of the Law and the Customs of the Tartarians Dwelling in Cathay, and how that men do when the emperor shall die, and how he shall be chosen. The folk of that country use all long clothes without furs, and they be clothed with precious cloths of Tartary and of cloths of gold, and their clothes be slit at the side, and they be fastened with laces of silk. And they clothe them also with pilches and the hide without, and they use neither cape ni hood. And in the same manner as the men go, the women go, so that no man may unneth know the men from the women, save only those women that be married, that bear the token upon their heads of a man foot, in sign that they be under man's foot and under subjection of man. And their wives need dwell not together, but every of them by herself, and the husband may lie with whom of them that him liketh. Everich hath his house, both man and woman, and their houses be made round of staves, and it hath a round window above that giveth them light, and also that serveth for deliverance of smoke. And the helling of their houses and the walls and the doors be all of wood. And when they go to war, they lead their houses with them upon chariots, as men do tents or pavilions. And they make their fire in the midst of their houses, and they have great multitude of all manner of beasts, save only of swine, for they bring none forth. And they believe well one God that made and formed all things. And nathels, yet have they idols of gold and silver and of tree and of cloth. And to those idols they offer always their first milk of their beasts, and also of their meats and of their drinks, before they eat. And they offer oftentimes horses and beasts, and they cleep the God of kind, Iroga, and their emperor also, what name that ever he have, they put evermore there too, Chan. And when I was there, their emperor had to name Thayut so that he was clept, Thayut Chan. And his eldest son was clept Tosu, and when he shall be emperor, he shall be clept Tosu Chan. And at that time the emperor had 12 sons without him that were named Kunsi, Ordiai, Chadahe, Baron, Negu, Nakab, Kadu, Sibin, Cutin, Balasi, Babylon, and Gergen. And of his three wives, the first in principle, that was Prester John. Daughter had to name Siriat Shan, and the t'other Borak Shan, and the t'other Karang Shan. The folk of that country begin all their things in the new moon, and they worship much the moon and the sun, and oftentime kneel against them. And all the folk of the country ride, commonly without spurs, but they bear always a little whip in their hands for to chase with their horses. And they have great conscience, and hold it for a great sin to cast a knife in the fire, and for to draw flesh out of a pot with a knife, and for to smite an horse with the handle of a whip, or to smite an horse with a bridle, or to break one bone with another, or for to cast milk or any liquor that men may drink upon the earth, or for to take and slay little children. And the most sin that any man may do is to piss in their houses that they dwell in, and whoso that may be found with that sin, sickerly they slay him. And of everych of these sins it behoveth them to be shriven of their priests, and to pay great sum of silver for their penance. And it behoveth also that the place that men have pissed and be hallowed again, and else dare no man enter therein. And when they have paid their penance, men make them pass through a fire or through two, for two cleanse them of their sins. And also when any messenger cometh and bringeth letters or any present to the emperor, it behoveth him that he, with the thing that he bringeth, pass through two burning fires for to purge them, that he bring no poison, ni venom, ni no wicked thing that might be grievance to the Lord. And also if any man or woman be taken in avowtry or fornication, anon they slay him. And who that stealeth anything, anon they slay him. Men of that country be all good archers, and shoot right well, both men and women, as well on horseback, pricking, as on foot, running. And the women make all things and all manner mysteries and crafts, as of clothes, boots, and other things. And they drive carts, plows, and wains, and chariots, and they make houses and all manner misters, outtaken bows and arrows, and armors that men make. And all the women wear breeches as well as men. All the folk of that country be full obeisant to their sovereigns, ni they fight not, ni chide not one with another. And there be neither thieves ni robbers in that country. And every man worshipeth other, but no man there doth no reverence to no strangers, but if they be great princes. And they eat hounds, lions, leopards, mares and foals, asses, rats and mice, and all manner of beasts, great and small, save only swine and beasts that were defended by the old law. And they eat all the beasts without and within, without casting away of anything, save only the filth. And they eat but little bread, but if it be in courts of great lords. And they have not in many places neither peas, ni beans, ni none other pottages, but the broth of the flesh. For little eat they anything but flesh and the broth. And when they have eaten, they wipe their hands upon their skirts, for they use no napery knee towels, but if it be before great lords, but the common people hath none. And when they have eaten, they put their dishes unwashen into the pot or cauldron with remnant of the flesh and of the broth till they will eat again. And the rich men drink milk of mares or of camels or of asses or of other beasts. And they will be lightly drunken of milk and of another drink that is made of honey and of water sodden together, for in that country is neither wine ni ale. They live full wretchedly, and they eat but once in the day, and that but little, neither in courts ni in other places. And in sooth, one man alone in this country will eat more in a day than one of them will eat in 3 days. And if any strange messenger come there to a lord, men make him to eat but once a day, and that full little. And when they war full wisely, and always do their business to destroy their enemies. Every man there beareth two bows, or three, and of arrows great plenty, and a great axe. And the gentles have short spears and large and full trenchant on that one side. And they have plates and helms made of queaboil, and their horses covertures of the same. And whoso fleeth from the battle, they slay him. And when they hold any siege about castle or town that is walled and defensible, they behote to them that be within to do all the profit and good that it is marvel to hear. And they grant also to them that be within all that they will ask them. And after that they be yielden, anon they slay them all and cut off their ears and souse them in vinegar, and thereof they make great service for lords. All their lust and all their imagination is for to put all lands under their subjection. And they say that they know well by their prophecies that they shall be overcome by archers and by strength of them, but they know not of what nation ni of what law they shall be of that shall overcome them. And therefore they suffer that folk of all laws may peaceably dwell amongst them. Also, when they will make their idols or an image of any of their friends for to have remembrance of him, they make always the image all naked without any manner of clothing. For they say that in good love should be no covering, that man should not love for the fair clothing knee for the rich array, but only for the body such as God hath made it, and for the good virtues that the body is endowed with of nature, not only for fair clothing that is not of kindly nature. And ye shall understand that it is great dread for to pursue the Tartars if they flee in battle. For in fleeing they shoot behind them and slay both men and horses. And when they will fight, they will shock them together in a plump, that if there be 20,000 men, men shall not ween that there be scant 10,000. And they can well win land of strangers, but they cannot keep it, for they have greater lust to lie in tents without than for to lie in castle or in towns. And they prize nothing the wit of other nations, and amongst them oil of olive is full dear, for they hold it for full noble medicine. And all the Tartars have small, ein and little of beard, and not thick-haired but sheer, and they be false and traitors, and they last not that they behote. They be full hardy folk, and much pain and woe may suffer and disease more than any other folk, for they be taught thereto in their own country of youth. And therefore they spend as who saith right not. And when any man shall die, men set a spear beside him. And when he draweth towards the death, every man fleeth out of the house till he be dead. And after that they bury him in the fields. And when the emperor dieth, men set him in a chair in midst the place of his tent. And men set a table before him, clean, covered with a cloth, and thereupon flesh and diverse viands, and a cup full of mare's milk. And men put a mare beside him with her foal, and an horse saddled and bridled. And they lay upon the horse gold and silver, great quantity. And they put about him great plenty of straw. And then men make a great pit and a large, and with the tent and all these other things they put him in earth. And they say that when he shall come into another world, he shall not be without an house, nor without horse, nor without gold and silver. And the mare shall give him milk and bring him forth more horses till he be well stored in the t'other world. For they trow that after their death they shall be eating and drinking in that other world, and solacing them with their wives, as they did here. And after time that the emperor is thus interred, no man shall be so hardy to speak of him before his friends. And yet Nathals sometime falleth of many that they make him to be interred privily by night in wild places, and put again the grass over the pit for to grow, or else men cover the pit with gravel and sand, that no man shall perceive where, ne know where, the pit is to that intent that never after none of his friends shall have mind ne remembrance of him. And then they say that he is ravished into another world, where he is a greater lord than he was here. And then, after the death of the emperor, the seven lineages assemble them together and choose his eldest son or the next after him of his blood. And thus they say to him, we will, and we pray and ordain that ye be our lord and our emperor. And then he answereth, if ye will that I reign over you as lord, do everych of you that I shall command him either to abide or to go, and whomsoever that I command to be slain, that anon he be slain. And they answer all with one voice, whatsoever ye command it shall be done. Then saith the emperor, now understand well that my word from henceforth is sharp and biting as a sword. After, men set him upon a black steed, and so men bring him to a chair full richly arrayed, and there they crown him. And then all the cities and good towns send him rich presents, so that at that journey he shall have more than 60 chariots, charged with gold, silver, without jewels of gold and precious stones, that lords gave him, that be without estimation, and without horses and cloths of gold, and of Kamakas and Tartarins, that be without number. Chapter XXVII of the realm of Tharse and the lands and kingdoms towards the septentrional parts. In coming down from the land of Cathay, this land of Cathay is in Asia the deep, and after on this half is Asia the more. The kingdom of Cathay marcheth toward the west unto the kingdom of Tharse, the which was one of the kings that came to present our Lord in Bethlehem. And they that be of the lineage of that king are some Christian. In Tharse they eat no flesh, nor they drink no wine. And on this half toward the west is the kingdom of Turkestan, that stretcheth him toward the west to the kingdom of Persia, and toward the septentrional to the kingdom of Khorasan. In the country of Turkestan be but few good cities, but the best city of that land hight Akhtarar. There be great pastures, but few corns, and therefore, for the most part, they be all herdsmen, and they lie in tents, and they drink a manner ale made of honey. And after, on this half, is the kingdom of Khorasan, that is a good land and a plenteous without wine. And it hath a desert toward the east that lasteth more than 100 journeys. And the best city of that country is Klept Khorasan, and of that city beareth the country his name. the folk of that country be hardy warriors, and on this half is the kingdom of Comania, whereof the Comanians that dwelled in Greece sometime were chased out. This is one of the greatest kingdoms of the world, but it is not all inhabited. For at one of the parts there is so great cold that no man may dwell there, and in another part there is so great heat that no man may endure it, and also there be so many flies that no man may know on what side he may turn him. In that country is but little arbory knee trees that bear fruit knee other. They lie in tents, and they burn the dung of beasts, for default of wood. This kingdom descendeth on this half. Toward us and toward Prussia and toward Russia, and through that country runneth the river of Ethel, that is, one of the greatest rivers of the world. And it freezeth so strongly all years that many times men have fought upon the ice, with great hosts, both parties on foot, and their horses voided for the time, and what on horse and on foot, more than 200,000 persons on every side, and between that river and the great sea ocean that they cleep, the sea mora lie all these realms, and toward the head. Beneath in that realm is the Mount Chadas, that is the highest mount of the world, and it is between the sea mora and the sea Caspian. There is full strait and dangerous passage for two, go toward end, and therefore King Alexander let make there a strong city that men cleep Alexandria for to keep the country, that no man should pass without his leave. And now men cleep that city the gate of hell, and the principal city of Comania is clept Sarac, that is one. Of the three ways for to go into end, but by that way, knee, may not pass no great multitude of people, but if it be in winter. And that passage men cleep the Derbent. The t'other way is for to go from the city of Turkestan by Persia, and by that way be many journeys by desert. And the third way is that cometh from Comania, and then to go by the great sea and by the kingdom of Abchaz, and ye shall understand that all these kingdoms and all these lands above said unto Prussia and to Russia be all obeisant to the great Chan of Cathay and many other countries that march to other coasts. Wherefore his power and his lordship is full, great, and full mighty. Chapter XXVII, the Emperor of Persia, and of the land of darkness, and of other kingdoms that belong to the great Chan of Cathay, and other lands of his, unto the Sea of Greece. Now, since I have devised you the lands and the kingdoms toward the part septentrionals in coming down from the land of Cathay unto the lands of the Christian, towards Prussia and Russia, now shall I devise you of other lands and kingdoms coming down by other coasts toward the right side unto the Sea of Greece, toward the land of Christian men. And therefore that after Indend, after Cathay the Emperor of Persia is the greatest lord, therefore I shall tell you of the kingdom of Persia. First, where he hath two kingdoms, the first kingdom beginneth toward the east, toward the kingdom of Turkestan, and it stretcheth toward the west unto the river of Pison, that is one of the four rivers that come out of paradise. And on another side it stretcheth toward the septentrion unto the sea of Caspian, and also toward the south unto the desert of Ind, and this country is good and plain and full of people. And there be many good cities. But the two principal cities be these, Boidera and Siornagant, that some men cleep, Sormagant. The t'other kingdom of Persia stretcheth toward the river of Pison and the parts of the west unto the kingdom of Media, and from the great Armenia and toward the septentrion to the sea of Caspian, and toward the south to the land of Ind. That is also a good land and a plenteous, and it hath three great principal cities, Messaber, Saphon, and Sarmassan. And then after is Armenia, in the which were wont to be four kingdoms, that is a noble country and full of goods. And it beginneth at Persia and stretcheth toward the west in length unto Turkey. And in largeness it dureth to the city of Alexandria, that now is clept the gate of hell that I spake of before under the kingdom of Media. In this Armenia be full many good cities, but Torizo is most of name. After this is the kingdom of Media, that is full long, but it is not full large, that beginneth toward the east to the land of Persia and to in the less, and it stretcheth toward the west, toward the kingdom of Chaldea and toward the septentrion, descending toward the little Armenia. In that kingdom of Media there be many great hills and little of plain earth. There dwell Saracens and another manner of folk, that men cleep Cordines. The best two cities of that kingdom be Saras and Carmen. After that is the kingdom of Georgia, that beginneth toward the east to the great mountain that is clept Abzor, where that dwell many diverse folk of diverse nations, and men cleep the country Alamo. This kingdom stretcheth him towards Turkey, and toward the great sea, and toward the south it marcheth to the great Armenia. And there be two kingdoms in that country, that one is the kingdom of Georgia, and that other is the kingdom of Abchaz. And always in that country be two kings, and they be both Christian. But the king of Georgia is in subjection to the great Chan. And the king of Abchaz hath the more strong country, and he always vigorously defendeth his country against all those that assail him, so that no man may make him in subjection to no man. In that kingdom of Abchaz is a great marvel. For a province of the country that hath well in circuit 3 journeys, that men Clepanison is all covered with darkness without any brightness or light, so that no man may see ni here ni no man dare enter into him. And Nathals, they of the country, say that sometimes men hear voice of folk and horses neighing and cocks crowing. And men wit well that men dwell there, but they know not what men. And they say that the darkness befell by miracle of God, for a cursed emperor of Persia. That hight Soras pursued all Christian men to destroy them and to compel them to make sacrifice to his idols and rode with great host in all that ever he might for to confound the Christian men. And then in that country dwelled many good Christian men, the which that left their goods and would have fled into Greece. And when they were in a plain that height, Megon, anon this cursed emperor met with them with his host for to have slain them and hewn them to pieces. And anon the Christian men kneeled to the ground and made their prayers to God to succor them. And anon a great thick cloud came and covered the emperor and all his host. And so they endure in that manner that they knee may not go out on no side, and so shall they evermore abide in that darkness till the day of doom by the miracle of God. And then the Christian men went where them liked best at their own pleasance, without letting of any creature, and their enemies enclosed and confounded in darkness, without any stroke. Wherefore we may well say with David, a domino factum est istud, and est mirabile in oculis nostris. And that was a great miracle that God made for them. Wherefore, methinketh that Christian men should be more devout to serve our Lord God than any other men of any other sect. For without any dread, ne were not cursedness and sin of Christian men, they should be lords of all the world. For the banner of Jesu, Christ, is always displayed and ready on all sides to the help of his true loving servants. Insomuch that one good Christian, man in good belief, should overcome and outchase 1,000 cursed misbelieving men, as David saith in the Psalter, quoniam persequebetur unius mills, and duo fugerent decem millia, et cadena latter tuo mill, and decem millia a dextrus tuis. And how that it might be, that one should chase 1,000, David himself saith following, quia manus domini fecit hic omnia, and our Lord himself saith by the prophet's mouth, si in viis meis ambulaveritis, super tribulantes vos mississim manum meum, so that we may see apertly that if we will be good men, no enemy may not endure against us. Also ye shall understand that out of that land of darkness goeth out a great river that showeth well that there be folk dwelling by many ready tokens, but no man dare not enter into it. And wit well that in the kingdoms of Georgia, of Abchaz, and of the little Armenia be good Christian men and devout. For they shrive them and housel them evermore once or twice in the week. And there be many of them that housel them every day, and so do we not on this half, albeit that St. Paul commandeth it, saying, omnibus debus diminisis ad communicandum hoarder. They keep that commandment, but we need keep it not. Also after on this half is Turkey that marcheth to the great Armenia. And there be many provinces as Cappadocia, Sora, Breek, Caciton, Python, and Gemeth, and in Everich. Of these be many good cities. This, Turkey, stretcheth unto the city of Sachala that sitteth upon the sea of Greece, and so it marcheth to Syria. Syria is a great country and a good, as I have told you before, and also it hath above toward in the kingdom of Chaldea that stretcheth from the mountains of Chaldea toward the east unto the city of Nineveh that sitteth upon the river of Tigris, and in largeness it beginneth toward the north to the city of Maraga, and it stretcheth toward the south unto the sea ocean. In Chaldea is a plain country and few hills and few rivers. After is the kingdom of Mesopotamia that beginneth toward the east to the flom of Tigris, unto a city that is clept Mosul, and it stretcheth toward the west to the flom of Euphrates, unto a city that is clept Royance, and in length it goeth to the mount of Armenia, unto the desert of Inless. This is a good country and a plain, but it hath few rivers. It hath but 2 mountains in that country, of the which one height Simmer and that other Lycen. And this land marcheth to the kingdom of Chaldea. Yet there is toward the parts meridionals many countries and many regions, as the land of Ethiopia that marcheth toward the east to the great deserts, toward the west to the kingdom of Nubia, toward the south to the kingdom of Mortain, and toward the north to the Red Sea. After is Mortain that dureth from the mountains of Ethiopia unto Libya the high. And that country lieth along from the sea ocean toward the south, and toward the north it marcheth to Nubia and to the high Libya. These men of Nubia be Christian. And it marcheth from the lands above said to the deserts of Egypt, and that is the Egypt that I have spoken of before, and after is Libya the high and Libya the low that descendeth. down low toward the great sea of Spain, in the which country be many kingdoms and many diverse folk. Now I have devised you many countries on this half the kingdom of Cathay, of the which many be obeisant to the great Chan, chapter XXIX. Of the countries and isles that be beyond the land of Cathay, and of the fruits there, and of 22 kings enclosed within the mountains. Now shall I say you suingly of countries and isles that be beyond the countries that I have spoken of, wherefore I say you in passing by the land of Cathay toward the high end and toward Bacaria, men pass by a kingdom that men Cleep Caudal, that is a full fair country, and there groweth a manner of fruit as though it were gourds. And when they be ripe, men cut them ato, and men find within a little beast in flesh, in bone, and blood, as though it were a little lamb without wool. And men eat both the fruit and the beast. And that is a great marvel. Of that fruit I have eaten, although it were wonderful, but that I know well that God is marvelous in his works. And, Nathels, I told them of as great a marvel to them, that is amongst us, and that was of the Bernakes. For I told them that in our country were trees that bear a fruit that become birds flying, and those that fell in the water live, and they that fall on the earth die anon, and they be right good to man's meat. And hereof had they as great marvel, that some of them trowed it were an impossible thing to be in that country be long apples of good savour, whereof be more than 100 in a cluster, and as many in another, and they have great long leaves and large, of 2 foot long or more. And in that country, and in other countries thereabout, grow many trees that bear clove gilofers and nutmegs, and great nuts of ind and of cannel and of many other spices. And there be vines that bear so great grapes that a strong man should have enough to do for to bear one cluster with all the grapes. In that same region be the mountains of Caspian that men cleep, Uber in the country. Between those mountains the Jews of 10 lineages be enclosed, that men cleep Goth and Magoth, and they may not go out on no side. There were enclosed 22 kings with their people that dwelled between the mountains of Scythia. Their king Alexander chased them between those mountains, and there he thought for to enclose them through work of his men. But when he saw that he might not do it, nay, bring it to an end, he prayed to God of nature that he would perform that he had begun. And all were it so that he was a Paynim and not worthy to be heard, yet God of his grace closed the mountains together so that they dwell there all fast, locked and enclosed with high mountains all about, save only on one side, and on that side is the Sea of Caspian. Now may some men ask, since that the sea is on that one side, wherefore go they not out on the seaside for to go where that them liketh? But to this question I shall answer, that Sea of Caspian goeth out by land under the mountains, and runneth by the desert at one side of the country, and after it stretcheth unto the ends of Persia. And although it be cleped a sea, it is no sea, nigh it toucheth to none other sea, but it is a lake the greatest of the world. And though they would put them into that sea, they nigh wist never where that they should arrive, and also they can know language but only their own, that no man knoweth but they, and therefore may they not go out. And also ye shall understand that the Jews have no proper land of their own for to dwell in all the world, but only that land between the mountains. And yet they yield tribute for that land to the queen of Amazonia, the which that maketh them to be kept in close full diligently, that they shall not go out on no side but by the coast of their land, for their land marcheth to those mountains. And often it hath befallen that some of the Jews have gone up the mountains and aveled down to the valleys. But great number of folk ne may not do so, for the mountains be so high and so straight up that they must abide there, maugre their might. For they may not go out but by a little issue that was made by strength of men, and it lasteth well a 4 great mile. And after is there yet a land all desert, where men may find no water, neither for digging ne for none other thing, wherefore men may not dwell in that place, so is it full of dragons, of serpents, and of other venomous beasts, that no man dare not pass but if it be strong winter. And that strait passage men cleep in that country Clairon, and that is the passage that the queen of Amazonia maketh to be kept. And though it happen some of them by fortune to go out, they can know manner of language but Hebrew, so that they cannot speak to the people. And yet, Nathels, men say they shall go out in the time of Antichrist, and that they shall make great slaughter of Christian men. And therefore all the Jews that dwell in all lands learn always to speak Hebrew, in hope that when the other Jews shall go out, that they may understand their speech, and to lead them into Christendom for to destroy the Christian people. For the Jews say that they know well by their prophecies that they of Caspia shall go out and spread throughout all the world, and that the Christian men shall be under their subjection as long as they have been in subjection of them. And if that you will wit how that they shall find their way, after that I have heard say, I shall tell you. In the time of Antichrist, a fox shall make there his train, and mine an hole where King Alexander let make the gates, and so, long he shall mine and pierce the earth till that he shall pass through towards that folk. And when they see the fox, they shall have great marvel of him, because that they saw never such a beast. For of all other beasts they have enclosed amongst them, save only the fox. And then they shall chase him and pursue him so straight, till that he come to the same place that he came from. And then they shall dig and mine so strongly, till that they find the gates that King Alexander let make of, great stones, and passing huge, well cemented and made, strong for the mastery. And those gates they shall break, and so go, out by finding of that issue, from that land go men toward the land of Bacaria, where be full evil folk and full cruel. In that land be trees that bear wool as though it were of sheep, whereof men make clothes, and all things that may be made of wool. In that country be many Hippotanes that dwell sometime in the water and sometime on the land. And they be half man and half horse, as I have said before. And they eat men when they may take them. And there be rivers of waters that be full bitter, 3 scythes more than is the water of the sea. In that country be many griffins, more plenty than in any other country. Some men say that they have the body upward, as an eagle, and beneath as a lion, and truly they say sooth that they be of that shape. But one griffin hath the body more great, and is more strong than 8 lions, of such lions as be on this half, and more great and stronger than 100 eagles, such as we have amongst us. For one griffin there will bear, flying to his nest, a great horse, if he may find him at the point, or 2 oxen yoked together as they go at the plough. For he hath his talons so long and so large and great upon his feet, as though they were horns of great oxen, or of bugles, or of kine, so that men make cups of them to drink of. And of their ribs and of the pens of their wings men make bows full strong to shoot with arrows and quarrels. From thence go men by many journeys through the land of Prester John, the great emperor of Ind, and men cleep his realm the Isle of Pentixwar, chapter XXX, of the royal estate of Prester John, and of a rich man that made a marvelous castle and cleeped it paradise, and of his subtlety. This emperor, Prester John, holds full great land, and hath many full noble cities and good towns in his realm, and many great diverse isles and large. For all the country of Ind is devised in isles for the great floods that come from paradise, that depart all the land in many parts. And also in the sea he hath full many isles, and the best city in the Isle of Pentixwar is Nyse, that is a full royal city and a noble, and full rich. This Prester John hath under him many kings and many isles, and many diverse folk of diverse conditions. And this land is full good and rich, but not so rich as is the land of the great Chan. For the merchants come not thither so commonly for to buy merchandises as they do in the land of the great Chan, for it is too far to travel to. And on that other part, in the Isle of Cathay, men find all manner thing that is need to man, cloths of gold, of silk, of spicery, and all manner of wardrobois. And therefore, albeit that men have greater cheap in the Isle of Prester John, Nathels, men dread the long way and the great perils in the sea in those parts. For in many places of the sea be great rocks of stones of the adamant, that of his proper nature draweth iron to him. And therefore there pass no ships that have either bonds or nails of iron within them. And if there do, anon the rocks of the adamants draw them to them, that never they may go thence. I myself have seen afar in that sea, as though it had been a great isle full of tree and buskail, full of thorns and briars, great plenty. And the shipmen told us that all that was of ships that were drawn thither by the adamants, for the iron that was in them. And of the rottenness and other thing that was within the ships grew such buskail and thorns and briars and green grass and such manner of thing, and of the masts and the sail yards it seemed a great wood or a grove. And such rocks be in many places thereabout. And therefore dare not the merchants pass there, but if they know well the passages, or else that they have good loadsmen. And also they dread the long way, and therefore they go to Cathay, for it is more nigh. And yet it is not so nigh, but that men must be travelling by sea and land 11 months or 12 from Genoa or from Venice, or he come to Cathay. And yet is the land of Prester John more far by many dreadful journeys, and the merchants pass by the kingdom of Persia and go to a city that is clept Hermes, for Hermes the philosopher founded it. And after that they pass an arm of the sea, and then they go to another city that is clept Galbesh, and there they find merchandises and of popinjays as great plenty as men find here of geese. And if they will pass further, they may go sikerly enough. In that country is but little wheat or barley, and therefore they eat rice and honey and milk and cheese and fruit. This Emperor Prester John taketh always to his wife the daughter of the great Chan, and the great Chan also in the same Wise, the daughter of Prester John, for these two be the greatest lords under the firmament. In the land of Prester John be many diverse things and many precious stones, so great and so large that men make of them vessels as platters, dishes, and cups, and many other marvels be there that it were too cumbrous and too long to put it in scripture of books, but of the principal isles and of his estate and of his law I shall tell you some part. This Emperor Prester John is Christian, and a great part of his country also. But yet they have not all the articles of our faith as we have. They believe well in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost, and they be full devout and right true one to another. And they set not by no barrets, ni by caudles, nor of no deceits, and he hath under him 72 provinces, and in every province is a king. And these kings have kings under them, and all be tributaries to Prester John. And he hath in his lordships many great marvels. For in his country is the sea that men cleep the gravelly sea, that is all gravel and sand, without any drop of water, and it ebbeth and floweth in great waves as other seas do, and it is never still knee in peace in no manner season. And no man may pass that sea by navy, knee by no manner of craft, and therefore may no man know what land is beyond that sea. And albeit that it have no water, yet men find therein and on the banks full good fish of other manner of kind and shape than men find in any other sea, and they be of right good taste and delicious to man's meat. And a 3 journeys long from that sea be great mountains, out of the which goeth out a great flood that cometh out of paradise. And it is full of precious stones without any drop of water, and it runneth through the desert on that one side, so that it maketh the sea gravelly, and it beareth into that sea, and there it endeth. And that flome runneth also 3 days in the week, and bringeth with him great stones. And the rocks also therewith, and that great plenty. And anon as they be entered into the gravelly sea, they be seen no more, but lost forevermore. And in those 3 days that river runneth, no man dare enter into it, but in the other days men dare enter well enough. Also beyond that flome, more upward to the deserts, is a great plain all gravelly between the mountains. And in that plain, every day at the sun rising, begin to grow small trees. And they grow till midday, bearing fruit, but no man dare take of that fruit, for it is a thing of fairy. And after midday they decrease and enter again into the earth, so that at the going down of the sun they appear no more. And so they do every day. And that is a great marvel. In that desert be many wild men that be hideous to look on, for they be horned, and they speak not, but they grunt as pigs. And there is also great plenty of wild hounds. And there be many popinjays that they cleep sidakes their language. And they speak of their proper nature, and salute men that go through the deserts, and speak to them as apertly as though it were a man. And they that speak well have a large tongue, and have 5 toes upon a foot. And there be also of another manner that have but 3 toes upon a foot, and they speak not, or but little, for they cannot but cry. This Emperor Prester John, when he goeth into battle against any other lord, he hath no banners borne before him, but he hath 3 crosses of gold, fine, great, and high, full of precious stones, and every of those crosses be set in a chariot, full, richly arrayed. And for to keep every cross be ordained 10,000 men of arms, and more than 100,000 men on foot, in manner as men would keep a standard in our countries when that we be in land of war. And this number of folk is without the principal host, and without wings, ordained for the battle. And when he hath no war, but rideth with a privy mani, then he hath borne before him but 1 cross of tree, without painting, and without gold or silver or precious stones, in remembrance that Jesu Christ suffered death upon a cross of tree. And he hath borne before him also a platter of gold full of earth, in token that his noblesse and his might and his flesh shall turn to earth. And he hath borne before him also a vessel of silver full of noble jewels of gold full rich and of precious stones, in token of his lordship and of his noblesse and of his might. He dwelleth commonly in the city of Susa. And there is his principal palace that is so rich and so noble that no man will trow it by estimation but he had seen it. And above the chief tower of the palace be 2 round pommels of gold, and in everych of them be 2 carbuncles great and large that shine full bright upon the night. And the principal gates of his palace be of precious stone that men cleep sardonyx, and the border and the bars be of ivory, and the windows of the halls and chambers be of crystal. And the tables whereon men eat, some be of emeralds, some of amethyst, and some of gold, full of precious stones, and the pillars that bear up the tables be of the same precious stones. And the degrees too go up to his throne where he sitteth at the meat, one is of onyx, another is of crystal, and another of jasper green, another of amethyst, another of sardine, another of cornelian, and the seventh that he setteth on his feet is of chrysolite, and all these degrees be bordered with fine gold with the t'other, precious stones set with great pearls orient, and the sides of the siege of his throne be of emeralds and bordered with gold full nobly and dubbed with other precious stones and great pearls, and all the pillars in his chamber be of fine gold with precious stones and with many carbuncles that give great light upon the night to all people, and albeit that the carbuncles give light right enough, nathels, at all times. Burneth a vessel of crystal full of balm, for to give good smell, and odor to the emperor, and to void away all wicked airs and corruptions. And the form of his bed is of fine sapphires, bended with gold, for to make him sleep well and to refrain him from lechery, for he will not lie with his wives but four sides, in the year after the four seasons, and that is only for two engender children. He hath also a full fair palace and a noble at the city of NYSE, where that he dwelleth when him best liketh, but the air is not so a temper as it is at the city of Susa, and ye shall understand that in all his country nor in the countries there all about, men eat not but once in the day, as they do in the court of the great Chan. And so they eat, every day in his court, more than 30,000 persons without goers and comers. But the 30,000 persons of his country, ni of, the country of the great Chan, ni spend not so much good as do 12,000 of our country. This Emperor Prester John hath evermore seven kings with him, to serve him, and they depart their service by certain months. And with these kings serve always 72 dukes and 360 earls. And all the days of the year there eat in his household and in his court 12 archbishops and 20 bishops. And the Patriarch of Saint Thomas is there, as is the Pope here. And the archbishops and the bishops and the abbots in that country be all kings. And everych of these great lords know well enough the attendance of their service. The one is master of his household, another is his chamberlain, another serveth him of a dish, another of the cup, another is steward, another is marshal, another is prince of his arms, and thus is he full nobly and royally served. And his land dureth in very breadth 4 months' journeys, and in length out of measure, that is to say, all isles under earth, that we suppose to be under us. Beside the Isle of Pentixwar, that is the land of Prester John, is a eat isle long and broad that men cleep Mistorak, and it is in the lordship of Prester John. In that isle is great plenty of goods. There was dwelling sometime a rich man, and it is not long since, and men clept him Gathelonabes, and he was full of caudles and of subtle deceits. And he had a full fair castle and a strong in a mountain, so strong and so noble that no man could devise a fairer knee stronger, and he had let mure all the mountain about with a strong wall and a fair, and within those walls he had the fairest garden that any man might behold. And therein were trees bearing all manner of fruits that any man could devise, and therein were also all manner virtuous herbs of good smell and all other herbs also that bear fair flowers. And he had also in that garden many fair wells, and beside those wells he had let make fair halls and fair chambers, depainted all with gold and azure, and there were in that place many diverse things and many diverse stories, and of beasts and of birds that sung full delectably and moved by craft that it seemed that they were quick. And he had also in his garden all manner of fowls and of beasts that any man might think on for to have play or sport to behold them. And he had also in that place the fairest damsels that might be found under the age of 15 years, and the fairest young striplings that men might get of that same age, and all they were clothed in cloths of gold full richly. And he said that those were angels. And he had also let make three wells fair and noble, and all environed with stone of jasper of crystal, diapered with gold and set with precious stones and great orient pearls. And he had made a conduit under earth, so that the three wells at his list one should run milk, another wine, and another honey. And that place he clept paradise. And when that any good knight that was hardy and noble came to see this royalty, he would lead him into his paradise, and show him these wonderful things to his disport, and the marvelous and delicious song of diverse birds, and the fair damsels, and the fair wells of milk, of wine, and of honey, plenteously running. And he would let make divers instruments of music to sound in an high tower so merrily that it was joy for to hear, and no man should see the craft thereof. And those, he said, were angels of God, and that place was paradise that God had behight to his friends, saying, Dabo vobis terram fluentem lacti et mel. And then would he make them to drink of certain drink, whereof anon they should be drunk. And then would them think greater delight than they had before. And then would he say to them that, if they would die for him and for his love, that after there death they should come to his paradise, and they should be of the age of those damosels, and they should play with them, and yet be maidens. And after that yet should he put them in a fairer paradise, where that they should see God of nature visibly, in his majesty and in his bliss. And then would he show them his intent and say them that if they would go slay such a lord, or such a man that was his enemy or contrarious to his list, that they should not dread to do it and for to be slain therefore themselves. For after their death, he would put them into another paradise that was an hundredfold fairer than any of the t'other, and there should they dwell with the most fairest damosels that might be and play with them evermore. And thus went many diverse lusty bachelors for to slay great lords in diverse countries that were his enemies and made themselves to be slain in hope to have that paradise. And thus, oftentime, he was revenged of his enemies by his subtle deceits and false caudles. And when the worthy men of the country had perceived this subtle falsehood of this Gathelanapes, they assembled them with force and assailed his castle and slew him and destroyed all the fair places and all the nobilities of that paradise, the place of the wells and of the walls and of many other things, be yet apparently seen, but the riches is voided clean. And it is not long gone since that place was destroyed. Chapter XXXI of the Devil's Head in the Valley Perilous, and of the customs of folk in divers isles that be about in the lordship of Prester John, beside that Isle of Mistorek upon the left side nigh to the river of Pisan is a marvelous thing. There is a vale between the mountains that dureth nigh a 4 mile, and some men cleep at the vale enchanted, some cleep at the vale of devils, and some cleep at the vale perilous. In that vale hear men oftentime great tempests and thunders and great murmurs and noises all days and nights, and great noise as it were sound of tabors and of nakers and of trumps as though it were of a great feast. This vale is all full of devils and hath been always, and men say there that it is one of the entries of hell. In that vale is great plenty of gold and silver, wherefore many misbelieving men and many Christian men also go in oftentime, for to have of the treasure that there is, but few come again, and namely of the misbelieving men, ne of the Christian men, neither, for anon they be strangled of devils, and in mid place of that vale, under a rock, is an head and the visage of a devil bodily, full horrible and dreadful to see, and it showeth not but the head to the shoulders. But there is no man in the world so hardy Christian man ne other, but that he would be adread to behold it, and that it would seem him to die for dread, so is it hideous for to behold. For he beholdeth every man so sharply with dreadful eyne, that be evermore moving and sparkling as fire, and changeth and stirreth, so often in diverse manner, with so horrible countenance that no man dare not nay in towards him. And from him cometh out smoke and stinking fire and so much abomination, that unneath no man may there endure. But the good Christian men that be stable in the faith enter well without peril. For they will first shrive them and mark them with the token of the Holy Cross, so that the fiends knee have no power over them. But albeit that they be without peril, yet nathels knee be they not without dread, when that they see the devils visibly and bodily all about them, that make full many diverse assaults and menaces in air and in earth, and aghast them with strokes of thunderblasts and of tempests. And the most dread is that God will take vengeance then of that that men have misdone against his will. And ye shall understand that when my fellows and I were in that vale, we were in great thought whether that we durst put our bodies in adventure to go in or not in the protection of God. And some of our fellows accorded to enter, and some not. So there were with us 2 worthy men, friars minors, that were of Lombardy, that said that if any man would enter, they would go in with us. And when they had said so, upon the gracious trust of God and of them, we let sing mass and made every man to be shriven and houseled. And then we entered, 14 persons, but at our going out we were but 9, and so we wist never whether that our fellows were lost or else turned again for dread. But we saw them never after, and those were 2 men of Greece and 3 of Spain. And our other fellows that would not go in with us, they went by another coast to be before us, and so they were. And thus we passed that perilous vale and found therein gold and silver and precious stones and rich jewels, great plenty both here and there as us seemed. But whether that it was as us seemed, I wot never, for I touched none, because that the devils be so subtle to make a thing to seem otherwise than it is for to deceive mankind. And therefore I touched none, and also because that I would not be put out of my devotion, for I was more devout then than ever I was before or after, and all for the dread of fiends that I saw in diverse figures, and also for the great multitude of dead bodies that I saw there lying by the way, by all the vale, as though there had been a battle between 2 kings and the mightiest of the country, and that the greater part had been discomfited and slain. And I trow that unneath should any country have so much people within him as lay slain in that vale as us thought, the which was an hideous sight to see, and I marveled much that there were so many, and the bodies all whole without rotting. But I trow, that fiends made them seem to be so whole without rotting, but that might not be to mine advice that so many should have, entered so newly, nee so many newly slain, without stinking and rotting. And many of them were in habit of Christian men, but I trow well that it were of such that went in for covetise, of the treasure that was there, and had overmuch feebleness in the faith, so that their hearts knee might not endure in the belief, for dread. And therefore were we the more devout a great deal. And yet we were cast down and beaten down many times, to the hard earth by winds and thunders and tempests, but evermore God of his grace help us. And so we passed that perilous vale without peril and without encumbrance, thanked be Almighty God. After this, beyond the vale is a great isle where the folk be great giants of 28 foot long or of 30 foot long, and they have no clothing but of skins of beasts that they hang upon them. And they eat no bread but all raw flesh, and they drink milk of beasts, for they have plenty of all bestial, and they have no houses to lie in, and they eat more gladly man flesh than any other flesh. Into that isle dare no man gladly enter. And if they see a ship and men therein, anon they enter into the sea for to take them. And men said us that in an isle beyond that were giants of greater stature, some of 45 foot or of 50 foot long. And as some men say, some of 50 cubits long. But I saw none of those, for I had no lust to go to those parts, because that no man cometh neither into that isle nor into the other, but if he be devoured anon. And among those giants be sheep as great as oxen here, and they bear great wool and rough. Of the sheep I have seen many times, and men have seen many times those giants take men in the sea out of their ships, and brought them to land, two in one hand and two in another, eating them going all raw and all quick. Another isle is there toward the north in the sea ocean, where that be full cruel and full evil women of nature, and they have precious stones in their eyne, and they be of that kind that if they behold any man with wrath, they slay him, anon with the beholding as doth the basilisk. Another isle is there, full fair and good and great and full of people, where the custom is such that the first night that they be married, they make another man to lie by their wives for to have their maidenhead, and therefore they take great hire and great thank. And there be certain men in every town that serve of none other thing, and they cleep them caedberes, that is to say, the fools of Wanhope, for they of the country hold it so great a thing and so perilous for to have the maidenhead of a woman, that them seemeth that they that have first the maidenhead putteth him in adventure of his life. And if the husband find his wife maiden that other next night after that she should have been lain by of the man that is assigned therefore, peradventure for drunkenness or for some other cause, the husband shall plain upon him that he hath not done his devoir in such cruel wise as though the officers would have slain him. But after the first night that they be lain by, they keep them so straitly that they be not so hardy to speak with no man. And I ask them the cause why that they held such custom, and they said me that of old time men had been dead for deflowering of maidens that had serpents in their bodies that stung men upon their yards that they died anon, and therefore they held that customs to make other men ordain therefore to lie by their wives for dread of death, and to assay the passage by another rather than for to put them in that adventure. After that is another isle where that women make great sorrow when their children be wy born, and when they die they make great feast and great joy and revel, and then they cast them into a great fire burning. And those that love well their husbands, if their husbands be dead, they cast them also in the fire with their children and burn them. And they say that the fire shall cleanse them of all filths and of all vices, and they shall go pured and clean into another world to their husbands, and they shall lead their children with them. And the cause why that they weep when their children be born is this, for when they come into this world, they come to labor, sorrow, and heaviness. And why they make joy and gladness at their dying is because that, as they say, then they go to paradise where the rivers run milk and honey, where that men see them in joy and in abundance of goods without sorrow and labor. In that isle men make their king evermore by election, and they need choose him not for no noblesse nor for no riches, but such one as is of good manners and of good conditions, and therewithal rightful, and also that he be of great age, and that he have no children. In that isle men be full rightful, and they do rightful judgments in every cause, both of rich and poor, small and great, after the quantity of the trespass that is misdone. And the king may not doom no man to death without assent of his barons and other men wise of counsel, and that all the court accord thereto. And if the king himself do any homicide or any crime, as to slay a man or any such case, he shall die therefore, but he shall not be slain as another man, but men shall defend in pain of death that no man be so, hardy to make him company ni to speak with him, ni that no man give him, ni sell him, ni serve him, neither of meat ni of drink, and so shall he die in mischief. They spare no man that hath trespassed, neither for love, ni for favor, ni for riches, ni for noblesse, but that he shall have after that he hath done. Beyond that isle is another isle, where is great multitude of folk. And they will not for no thing eat flesh of hares, ni of hens, ni of geese, and yet they bring forth enough for to see them and to behold them only, but they eat flesh of all other beasts and drink milk. In that country they take their daughters and their sisters to their wives and their other kinswomen, and if there be 10 men or 12 men or more, dwelling in an house, the wife of everych of them shall be common to them all that dwell in that house, so that every man may lie with whom he will of them on one night, and with another another night. And if she have any child, she may give it to what man that she list that hath companied with her, so that no man knoweth there whether the child be his or another's. And if any man say to them that they nourish other men's children, they answer that so do overmen theirs. In that country and by all end be great plenty of cockadrills, that is a manner of a long serpent, as I have said before. And in the night they dwell in the water, and on the day upon the land, in rocks and in caves. And they eat no meat in all the winter, but they lie as in a dream, as do the serpents. These serpents slay men, and they eat them weeping. And when they eat, they move the over jaw, and not the nether jaw, and they have no tongue in that country, and in many other beyond that, and also in many on this half, men put in work the seed of cotton, and they sow it every year. And then groweth it in small trees that bear cotton. And so do men every year, so that there is plenty of cotton at all times. Item, in this isle and in many other, there is a manner of wood, hard and strong. Whoso covereth the coals of that wood under the ashes thereof, the coals will dwell and abide all quick a year or more. And that tree hath many leaves, as the juniper hath, and there be also many trees, that of nature they will never burn, ni rot in no manner. And there be nut trees that bear nuts as great as a man's head. There also be many beasts that be clept orefels. In Arabia they be clept gerfonts. That is a beast, palmly or spotted, that is but a little more high than is a steed, but he hath the neck a 20 cubits long, and his croup and his tail is as of an hart, and he may look over a great high house. And there be also in that country many camels, that is a little beast, as a goat, that is wild, and he lieth by the air and eateth not, ni drinketh not at no time, and he changeth his color oftentime, for men see him often scythes, now in one color and now in another color, and he may change him into all manner colors that him list, save only into red and white. There be also in that country passing great serpents, some of 6 score foot long, and they be of diverse colors, as rayed, red, green, and yellow, blue, and black, and all speckled. And there be others that have crests upon their heads, and they go upon their feet upright, and they be well a 4 fathom great or more, and they dwell always in rocks or in mountains, and they have always the throat open, of whence they drop venom always. And there be also wild swine of many colors, as great as be oxen in our country, and they be all spotted as be young fawns. And there be also urchins as great as wild swine here, we cleep them porks to spine. And there be lions all white, great and mighty. And there be also of other beasts as great and more greater than is a destrier, and men cleep them lower ranks, and some men cleep them odenthos, and they have a black head and 3 long horns trenchant in the front, sharp as a sword, and the body is slender, and he is a full felonious beast, and he chaseth and slayeth the elephant. There be also many other beasts, full wicked and cruel, that be not mickle more than a bear, and they have the head like a boar, and they have 6 feet, and on every foot 2 large claws, trenchant, and the body is like a bear, and the tail as a lion. And there be also mice, as great as hounds, and yellow mice as great as ravens. And there be geese, all red, 3 scythes more great than ours here, and they have the head, the neck, and the breast all black, and many other diverse beasts be in those countries, and elsewhere thereabout, and many diverse birds also, of the which it were too long for to tell you. And therefore I pass over at this time. Chapter XXXII of the goodness of the folk of the Isle of Bragman, of King Alexander, and wherefore the Emperor of Ind is clept Prester John. And beyond that isle is another isle, great and good and plenteous, where that be good folk and true, and of good living after their belief and of good faith. And albeit that they be not christened, ne have no perfect law, yet nathels of kindly law they be full of all virtue, and they eschew all vices and all malices and all sins. For they be not proud, ne covetous, ne envious, ne wrathful, ne gluttons, ne lecherous. neither they do to any man, otherwise than they would that other men did to them, and in this point they fulfill the 10 commandments of God and give no charge of avoir ni of riches. And they lie not, ni they swear not, for none occasion, but they say simply yea and nay, for they say, he that sweareth will deceive his neighbor, and therefore, all that they do it without oath. And men cleep that isle the Isle of Bragmen, and some men cleep at the land of faith. And through that land runneth a great river that is clept Tebe. And in general, all the men of those isles and of all the marches thereabout be more true than in any other countries thereabout, and more rightful than others in all things. In that isle is no thief, ni murderer, ni common woman, ni poor beggar, ni never was man slain in that country, and they be so chaste and lead so good life as that they were religious men, and they fast all days. And because they be so true and so rightful and so full of all good conditions, they were never grieved with tempests, ni with thunder, ni with light, ni with hail, ni with pestilence, ni with war, ni with hunger, ni with none other tribulation, as we be many times amongst us for our sins. Wherefore it seemeth well that God loveth them and is pleased with their croats for their good deeds. They believe well in God that made all things, and him they worship. And they prize none earthly riches, and so they be all rightful. And they live full, ordinately, and so soberly in meat and drink that they live right long. And the most part of them die without sickness, when nature faileth them for eld. And it befell in King Alexander's time that he purposed him to conquer that isle and to make them to hold of him. And when they of the country heard it, they sent messengers to him with letters that said thus, what may be enough to that man, to whom all the world is insufficient? Thou shalt find nothing in us that may cause thee to war against us. For we have no riches, ni none we covet, and all the goods of our country be in common. Our meat that we sustain with all our bodies is our riches. And instead of treasure of gold and silver, we make our treasure of accord and peace, and for to love every man other. And for to apparel with our bodies we use a silly little clout for to wrap in our carrion. Our wives, ni be not arrayed for to make no man pleasance, but only convenable array for to eschew folly. When men pain them to array the body for to make it seem fairer than God made it, they do great sin. For man should not devise ni ask greater beauty than God hath ordained man to be at his birth. The earth ministereth to us two things, our livelihood that cometh of the earth that we live by, and our sepulture after our death. We have been in perpetual peace till now that thou come to disinherit us. And also we have a king not only for to do justice to every man, for he shall find no forfeit among us, but for to keep noblesse, and for to show that we be obeisant, we have a king. For justice ni hath not among us no place, for we do to no man otherwise than we desire that men do to us. So that righteousness ni vengeance have not to do among us, so that nothing thou may take from us but our good peace that always hath dured among us. And when King Alexander had read these letters, he thought that he should do great sin for to trouble them. And then he sent them sureties that they should not be afeard of him, and that they should keep their good manners and their good peace as they had used before of custom. And so he let them alone. Another isle there is that men cleep Oxidrate, and another isle that men cleep Gynosif, where there is also good folk and full of good faith. And they hold, for the most part, the good conditions and customs and good manners as men of the country above said, but they go all naked. Into that isle entered King Alexander to see the manner. And when he saw their great faith and their truth that was amongst them, he said that he would not grieve them, and bade them ask of him what that they would have of him, riches or anything else, and they should have it with good will. And they answered that he was rich enough that had meat and drink to sustain the body with, for the riches of this world, that is transitory, is not worth, but if it were in his power to make them immortal, thereof would they pray him and thank him. And Alexander answered them that it was not in his power to do it, because he was mortal as they were. And then they asked him why he was so proud and so fierce and so busy for to put all the world under his subjection, right as thou were a god, and hast no term of this life, neither day ni hour, and willest to have all the world at thy commandment that shall leave thee without fail, or thou leave it. And right as it hath been to other men before thee, right so it shall be to other after thee, and from hence shalt thou bear nothing. But as thou were born naked, right so all naked shall thy body be turned into earth that thou were made of. Wherefore thou shouldest think and impress it in thy mind that nothing is immortal, but only God that made the thing. By the which answer, Alexander was greatly astonished and abashed and all confused, and departed from them. And albeit that these folk have not the articles of our faith, as we have Nathels for their good faith natural and for their good intent, I trow fully that God loveth them, and that God take their service to gree, right as he did of Job that was a, pain him and held him for his true servant. And therefore, albeit that there be many diverse laws in the world, yet I trow, that God loveth always them that love him and serve him meekly, in truth, and namely them that despise the vain glory of this world, as this folk do, and as Job did also, and therefore said our Lord by the mouth of Hosea the prophet, panam eyes multiplices legs mees, and also in another place, qui totum orbem subdit sues legibus, and also, our Lord saith in the Gospel, alias oves habeo, quenon, sun ex hoc ovali, that is to say that he had other servants than those that be under Christian law. And to that, accordeth the avision that St. Peter saw at Jaffa, how the angel came from heaven and brought before him diverse beasts, as serpents and other creeping beasts of the earth and of other, also great plenty, and bade him take and eat. And St. Peter answered, I eat never, quoth he, of unclean beasts. And then said the angel, non dicas immunda, quae Deus mundavit. And that was in token that no man should have, in despite none earthly man, for their diverse laws, for we know not whom God loveth, ni whom God hateth. And for that example, when men say de profundis, they say it in common and in general with the Christian, pro animabis omnium defunctorum, pro quibus siderandum, and therefore say I of this folk that be so true and so faithful that God loveth them. For he hath amongst them many of the prophets and alway hath had, and in those isles they prophesied the incarnation of Lord Jesu Christ, how he should be born of a maiden, 3,000 year or more or our Lord was born of the Virgin Mary, and they believe well it. The incarnation, and that full perfectly, but they know not the manner how he suffered his passion and death for us. And beyond these isles there is another isle that is clept, Python. The folk of that country knee till not, knee labor not, the earth, for they eat no manner thing. And they be of good color and of fair shape after their greatness. But the small be as dwarfs, but not so little as be the pygmies. These men live by the smell of wild apples, and when they go any far way, they bear the apples with them, for if they had lost the savor of the apples, they should die, anon. They need be not full reasonable, but they be simple and bestial. After that is another isle, where the folk be all skinned, rough hair as a rough beast, save only the face and the palm of the hand. These folk go as well under the water of the sea, as they do above the land all dry, and they eat both flesh and fish all raw. In this isle is a great river that is, well a 2.5 miles of breadth that is clept, Bomer. And from that river a 15 journeys in length, going by the deserts of the t'other side of the river. Whoso might go it, for I was not there, but it was told us of them of the country, that within those deserts were the trees of the sun and of the moon, that spake to King Alexander and warned him of his death. And men say that the folk that keep those trees and eat of the fruit and of the balm that groweth there live well 400 year or 500 year by virtue of the fruit and of the balm. For men say that balm groweth therein great plenty and nowhere else, save only at Babylon, as I have told you before. We would have gone toward the trees full gladly if we had might. But I trow that 100,000 men of arms might not pass those deserts safely, for the great multitude of wild beasts and of great dragons and of great serpents that there be, that slay and devour all that come anent them. In that country be many white elephants without number, and of unicorns, and of lions of many manners, and many of such beasts that I have told before, and of many other hideous beasts without number. Many other isles there be in the land of Prester John, and many great marvels that were too long to tell all, both of his riches and of his noblesse, and of the great plenty also of precious stones that he hath. I trow that ye know well enough, and have heard say, wherefore this emperor is clept, Prester John. But nathels, for them that know not, I shall say you the cause. It was sometime an emperor there that was a worthy and a full noble prince, that had Christian knights in his company, as he hath that is now. So it befell that he had great list for to see the service in the church among Christian men. And then dird Christendom beyond the sea, all Turkey, Syria, Tartary, Jerusalem, Palestine, Arabia, Aleppo, and all the land of Egypt. And so it befell that this emperor came with a Christian knight with him into a church in Egypt, and it was the Saturday in Whitsun week. And the bishop made orders, and he beheld and listened the service full tentatively. And he asked the Christian knight what men of degree they should be that the prelate had before him. And the knight answered and said that they should be priests. And then the emperor said that he would no longer be clept king, ni emperor, but priest, and that he would have the name of the first priest that went out of the church, and his name was John. And so evermore sithens he is clept Prester John. In his land be many Christian men of good faith and of good law, and namely of them of the same country, and have commonly They're priests that sing the Mass and make the sacrament of the altar of bread, right as the Greeks do. But they say not so many things at the Mass as men do here. For they say not but only that the apostles said as our Lord taught them, right, as St. Peter and St. Thomas and the other apostles sung the Mass, saying the Pater Noster and the words of the sacrament. But we have many more additions that divers popes have made that they need know not of, chapter XXXII of the hills of gold that pismires keep, and of the four floods that come from paradise terrestrial toward the east part of Prester. John's land is an isle good and great that men cleep, Taprobane that is full noble and full fructuous, and the king thereof is full rich and is under the obeisance of Prester, John, and always there they make their king by election. In that isle be two summers and two winters, and men harvest the corn twice a year, and in all the seasons of the year be the gardens flourished. There dwell good folk and reasonable, and many Christian men amongst them that be so rich that they wit not what to do with their goods. Of old time, when men passed from the land of Prester John unto that isle, men made ordinance for to pass by ship 23 days or more, but now men pass by ship in 7 days, and men may see the bottom of the sea in many places, for it is not full deep. Beside that isle toward the east be two other isles, and men cleep that one oriel and that other argite, of the which all the land is mine of gold and silver. And those isles be right where that the Red Sea departeth from the sea ocean. And in those isles men see there no stars so clearly as in other places. For there appear no stars, but only one clear star that men cleep Canopos, and there is not the moon seen in all the lunation, save only the second quarter. In the isle also of this Taprobane be great hills of gold, that pismires keep full diligently. And they find the pured gold and cast away the unpured. And these pismires be great as hounds, so that no man dare come to those hills, for the pismires would assail them and devour them anon. So that no man may get of that gold but by great sleight. And therefore when it is great heat, the pismires rest them in the earth from prime of the day into noon. And then the folk of the country take camels, dromedaries, and horses, and other beasts, and go thither and charge them in all haste that they may. And after that they flee away in all haste that the beasts may go or the pismires come out of the earth. And in other times when it is not so hot and that the pismires knee rest them not in the earth, then they get gold by this subtlety. They take mares that have young colts or foals and lay upon the mares. Void vessels made therefore, and they be all open above and hanging low to the earth. And then they send forth those mares for to pasture about those hills and withhold the foals with them at home. And when the pismires see those vessels, they leap in anon, and they have this kind that they let nothing be empty among them, but anon they fill it, be it what manner of thing that it be, and so they fill those vessels with gold. And when that the folk suppose that the vessels be full, they put forth anon the young foals and make them to neigh after their dams. And then anon the mares return towards their foals with their charges of gold. And then men discharges them and get gold enough by this subtlety. For the pismires will suffer beasts to go and pasture amongst them, but no man in no wise, and beyond the land and the isles and the deserts of Prester John's lordship, in going straight toward the east, men find nothing but mountains and rocks full great, and there is the dark region where no man may see, neither by day nor by night, as they of the country say. And that desert and that place of darkness dure from this coast unto paradise terrestrial, where that Adam our foremost father and Eve were put, that dwelled there but little while, and that is towards the east at the beginning of the earth. But that is not that east that we cleep our east on this half where the sun riseth to us. For when the sun is east in those parts towards paradise terrestrial, it is then midnight in our parts on this half, for the roundness of the earth, of the which I have touched to you of before. For our Lord God made the earth all round in the mid place of the firmament. And there as mountains and hills be in valleys, that is not but only of Noah's flood, that wasted the soft ground and the tender, and fell down into valleys, and the hard earth and the rocks abide mountains when the soft earth and tender waxed nesh through the water and fell, and became valleys of paradise. Nee can I not speak properly, for I was not there, it is far beyond, and that forethinketh me, and also I was not worthy. But as I have heard say of wise men beyond, I shall tell you with good will, paradise terrestrial, as wise men say, is the highest place of earth that is in all the world. And it is so high that it toucheth nigh to the circle of the moon, there as the moon maketh her turn, for she is so high that the flood of Noah knee might not come to her, that would have covered all the earth of the world, all about and above and beneath, save paradise only alone. And this paradise is enclosed all about with a wall, and men wit not whereof it is, for the walls be covered all over with moss, as it seemeth. And it seemeth not that the wall is stone of nature, ne of none other thing that the wall is. And that wall stretcheth from the south to the north, and it hath not but one entry that is closed with fire, burning, so that no man that is mortal ne dare not enter. And in the most high place of paradise, even in the middle place, is a well that casteth out the four floods that run by, divers lands. Of the which the first is clept Pison, or Ganges, that is all one, and it runneth throughout Ind or Imlac, in the which river be many precious stones, and much of lignum, aloes, and much gravel of gold. And that other river is clept Nilus or Jisun, that goeth by Ethiopia and after by Egypt. And that other is clept Tigris, that runneth by Assyria and by Armenia the Great. And that other is clept Euphrates, that runneth also by Media and Armenia and by Persia. And men there beyond say that all the sweet waters of the world above and beneath take there, beginning of the well of paradise, and out of that well all waters come and go. The first river is clept Pison, that is to say in there language assembly, for many other rivers meet them there and go into that river. And some men cleep it Ganges for a king, that was in Ind, that hight Gangers, and that it ran throughout his land. And that water is in some place clear and in some place troubled, in some place hot, and in some place cold. The second river is clept Nilus or Jisun, for it is always trouble. And Jisun, in the language of Ethiopia, is to say trouble, and in the language of Egypt also. The third river, that is department Tigris, is as much for to say as fast running, for he runneth more fast than any of the t'other. And also there is a beast that is clept Tigris, that is fast running. The fourth river is clept Euphrates, that is to say well-bearing, for there grow many goods upon that river, as corns, fruits, and other goods enough plenty. And ye shall understand that no man that is mortal ne may not approach to that paradise, for by land no man may go for wild beasts that be in the deserts, and for the high mountains, and great huge rocks that no man may pass by, for the dark places that be there, and that many. And by the rivers may no man go, for the water runneth so rudely and so sharply, because that it cometh down so outrageously from the high places above, that it runneth in so great waves that no ship may not row nigh sail against it. And the water roareth so and maketh so huge noise and so great tempest that no man may hear other in the ship, though he cried with all the craft that he could in the highest voice that he might. Many great lords have assayed, with great will many times, for to pass by those rivers towards paradise with full great companies, but they might not speed in their voyage. And many died for weariness of rowing against those strong waves. And many of them became blind and many deaf for the noise of the water. And some were perished and lost within the waves, so that no mortal man may approach to that place without special grace of God, so that of that place I can say you no more, and therefore I shall hold me still and return to that I have seen, chapter XXXIV, of the customs of kings and other that dwell in the isles coasting to Prester John land, and of the worship that the son doth to the father when he is dead, from those isles that I have spoken of before in the land of Prester John that be under earth as to us that be on this half, and of other isles that be more further beyond, whoso will pursue them for to come again right to the parts that he came from, and so environ all earth. But what for the isles, what for the sea, and what for strong rowing, few folk assay for to pass that passage, albeit that men might do it well, that might be of power to dress them thereto, as I have said you before. And therefore men return from those isles, above said by other isles, coasting from the land of Prester John. And then come men in returning to an isle that is clept Casson, and that isle hath well 60 journeys in length, and more than 50 in breadth. This is the best isle, and the best kingdom that is in all those parts outtaken, Cathay. And if the merchants used as much that country as they do Cathay, it would be better than Cathay in a short while. This country is full well inhabited, and so full of cities and of good towns inhabited with people, that when a man goeth out of one city, men see another city even before them, and that is what part that a man go in all that country. In that isle is great plenty of all goods for to live with, and of all manner of spices, and there be great forests of chestnuts. The king of that isle is full, rich, and full mighty, and Nathels, he holds his land of the great Chan, and is obeisant to him, for it is one of the 12 provinces that the great Chan hath under him without his proper land, and without other less isles that he hath, for he hath full many. From that kingdom come men in returning to another isle that is clept Riboth, and it is also under the great Chan. That is a full good country, and full plenteous of all goods and of wines and fruit and all other riches. And the folk of that Country have no houses, but they dwell and lie all under tents, made of black fern, by all the country. And the principal, city and the most royal, is all walled with black stone and white. And all the streets also be pathed of the same stones. In that city is no man so hardy to shed blood of any man, ne of no beast, for the reverence of an idol that is worshipped there. And in that isle dwelleth the pope of their law, that they cleep Lobesi. This Lobesi giveth all the benefices and all other dignities and all other things that belong to the idol. And all those that hold anything of their churches, religious and other, obey to him, as men do here, to the pope of Rome. In that isle they have a custom by all the country, that when the father is dead of any man, and the son list to do great worship to his father, he sendeth to all his friends and to all his kin, and for religious men and priests and for minstrels, also great plenty. And then men bear the dead body unto a great hill with great joy and solemnity. And when they have brought it thither, the chief prelate smiteth off the head, and layeth it upon a great platter of gold and of silver, if so he be a rich man, and then he taketh the head to the son. And then the son and his other kin sing and say many orisons, and then the priests and the religious men smite all the body of the dead man in pieces. And then they say certain orisons, and the fowls of ravine of all the country about know the custom of long time before, and come flying above in the air, as eagles, gleeds, ravens, and other fowls of ravine that eat flesh. And then the priests cast the gobbets of the flesh, and then the fowls, each of them, taketh that he may, and goeth a little thence and eateth it, and so they do whilst any peace lasteth of the dead body. And after that, as priests amongst us sing for the dead, subvenite sancti day, etc., right so the priests sing with high voice in their language, behold how so worthy a man and how good a man this was, that the angels of God come for to seek him and for to bring him into paradise. And then seemeth it to the son that he is highly worshipped, when that many birds and fowls and ravens come and eat his father, and he that hath most number of fowls is most worshipped. And then the son bringeth home with him all his kin and his friends and all the others to his house, and maketh them a great feast. And then all his friends make their vaunt and their dalliance, how the fowls came thither, here five, here six, here 10, and there 20, and so forth, and they rejoice them hugely for to speak thereof. And when they be at meat, the son let bring forth the head of his father, and thereof he giveth of the flesh to his most special friends instead of entremes, or a succark. And of the brain pan he letteth make a cup, and thereof drinketh he and his other friends also, with great devotion in remembrance of the holy man that the angels of God have eaten. And that cup the son shall keep to drink of all his lifetime in remembrance of his father. From that land, in returning by 10 journeys throughout the land of the great Chan, is another good isle and a great kingdom, where the king is full rich and mighty, and amongst the rich men of his country is a passing rich man. That is no prince, ni duke, ni earl, but he hath more that hold of him lands and other lordships, for he is more rich. For he hath every year of annual rent 300,000 horses charged with corn of diverse grains and of rice. And so he leadeth a full noble life and a delicate after the custom of the country. For he hath every day 50 fair damosels, all maidens that serve him evermore at his meat, and for to lie by him o night, and for to do with them that is to his pleasance. And when he is at table, they bring him his meat at every time, five and five together, and in bringing their service they sing a song. And after that they cut his meat and put it in his mouth, for he toucheth nothing, ne handleth not, but holdeth evermore his hands before him upon the table. For he hath so long nails that he may take nothing, ne handle nothing. For the noblesse of that country is to have long nails, and to make them grow always to be as long as men may. And there be many in that country that have their nails so long that they environ all the hand, and that is a great noblesse. And the noblesse of the women is for to have small feet and little. And therefore anon as they be born, they let bind their feet so straight that they may not grow half as nature would. And this is the noblesse of the women there to have small feet and little. And always, these damosels that I spake of before sing all the time that this rich man eateth. And when that he eateth no more of his first course, then other five and five fair damsels bring him his second course, always singing as they did before. And so they do continually every day to the end of his meat. And in this manner he leadeth his life. And so did they before him that were his ancestors, and so shall they that come after him, without doing of any deeds of arms, but live evermore thus in ease, as a swine that is fed in sty for to be made fat. He hath a full fair palace and full rich, where that he dwelleth in, of the which the walls be in circuit 2 mile. And he hath within many fair gardens and many fair halls and chambers, and the pavement of his halls and chambers be of gold and silver. And in the mid place of one of his gardens is a little mountain where there is a little meadow. And in that meadow is a little toot hill with towers and pinnacles all of gold. And in that little toot hill will he sit oftentime for to take the air and to disport him. For the place is made for nothing else, but only for his disport. From that country men come by the land of the great Chan also, that I have spoken of before. And ye shall understand that of all these countries and of all these isles and of all the diverse folk that I have spoken of before and of diverse laws and of diverse beliefs that they have, yet is there none of them all but that they have some reason within them and understanding, but if it be the fewer and that of certain articles of our faith and some good points of our belief, and that they believe in God that formed all things and made the world and cleep him God of nature, after that the prophet saith, et metuin iam omnes fines terri, and also, in another place, omnes gentes servient I, that is to say, all folk shall serve him. But yet they cannot speak perfectly, for there is no man to teach them, but only that they can devise by their natural wit. For they have no knowledge of the Son, ni of the Holy Ghost. But they can all speak of the Bible, and namely of Genesis, of the prophets' saws, and of the books of Moses. And they say well that the creatures that they worship ne be no gods, but they worship them for the virtue that is in them, that may not be but only by the grace of God. And of simulacres and of idols they say that there be no folk, but that they have simulacres. And that they say, for we Christian men have images, as of Our Lady and of other saints that we worship, not the images of tree or of stone, but the saints in whose name they be made after. For right, as the books and the scripture of them teach the clerks how and in what manner they shall believe, right so the images and the paintings teach the lewd folk to worship the saints and to have them in their mind in whose names that the images be made after. They say also that the angels of God speak to them in those idols, and that they do many great miracles. And they say sooth that there is an angel within them. For if there be two manner of angels, a good and an evil, as the Greeks say, Cacho and Kalo. This Cacho is the wicked angel, and Kalo is the good angel. But the t'other is not the good angel, but the wicked angel that is within the idols to deceive them and for to maintain them in their error. There be many other divers countries and many other marvels beyond that I have not seen. Wherefore, of them I cannot speak properly to tell you the manner of them. And also in the countries where I have been be many more diversities of many wonderful things than I make mention of, for it were too long thing to devise you the manner. And therefore that I have devised you of certain countries that I have spoken of before, I beseech your worthy and excellent noblesse that it suffice to you at this time. For if that I devised you all that is beyond the sea, another man, peradventure, that would pain him and travail his body for to go into those marches for to and search those countries, might be blamed by my words in rehearsing many strange things, for he might not say nothing of new in the wit the hearers might have either solace or disport or lust or liking in the hearing. For men say always that new things and new tidings be pleasant to hear. Wherefore I will hold me still without any more rehearsing of diversities or of marvels that be beyond to that intent and end, that whoso will go into those countries he shall find enough to speak of that I have not touched of in no wise. And ye shall understand, if it like you, that at mine homecoming I came to Rome and showed my life to our holy father the Pope, and was assoiled of all that lay in my conscience of many a diverse grievous point, as men must needs that be in company, dwelling amongst so many a diverse folk of diverse sect and of belief as I have been. And amongst all I showed him this treatise that I had made after information of men that knew of things that I had not seen myself, and also of marvels and customs that I had seen myself, as far as God would give me grace, and besought his holy fatherhood that my book might be examined and corrected by advice of his wise and discreet counsel. And our holy father of his special grace remitted my book to be examined and proved by the advice of his said counsel. By the which my book was proved for true, insomuch that they showed me a book that my book was examined by, that comprehended full much more, by 100 part, by the which the Mappa Mundi was made after. And so my book, albeit that many men ne list not to give credence to nothing, but to that they see with their I ne be the author ne the person never so true, is affirmed and proved by our holy father in manner and form as I have said. And I, John Mandeville, knight above said, although I be unworthy, that departed from our countries and passed the sea, the year of grace 1322, that have passed many lands and many isles and countries, and searched many full strange places, and have been in many a full good, honorable company, and at many a fair deed of arms, albeit that I did none myself for mine unable in sufficiency. Now I am come home, maugre myself to rest for gout's artitikes that me distrain that define the end of my labor, against my will God knoweth. And thus, taking solace in my wretched rest, recording the time past, I have fulfilled these things and put them written in this book, as it would come into my mind, the year of grace A, 1356, in the 34th year, that I departed from our countries. Wherefore, I pray to all the readers and hearers of this book, if it please them, that they would pray to God for me, and I shall pray for them, and all those that say for me a Pater Noster, with an Ave Maria, that God forgive me my sins, I make them partners, and grant them part of all the good pilgrimages and of all the good deeds that I have done, if any be to his pleasance, and not only of those, but of all that ever I shall do unto my life's end. And I beseech Almighty God, from whom all goodness and grace cometh from that he vouchsafe of his excellent mercy and abundant grace to fulfill their souls with inspiration of the Holy Ghost in making defense of all their ghostly enemies here in earth to their salvation, both of body and soul, to worship and thanking of him, that is, three in one, without beginning and without ending, that is, without quality good, without quantity great, that in all places is present and all things containing, the which that know goodness may amend, nee none evil impair, that in perfect Trinity liveth and reigneth God by all worlds and by all times. Amen. 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 Here endeth the book of John Manville. Footnotes. Zier. The supplement was not transcribed as part of the original Project Gutenberg release. The texts are available elsewhere in Project Gutenberg. D.P., Roman 9, not Manville but an anonymous sojourner among the Tartars, whose story fills a page and a half in Hacklight. End of the Project GUTNBRG EBOOK The Travels of S.I.R. John M.A.N.D.V.I.L.L.E. asterisk. Updated editions will replace the previous one. The old editions will be renamed. Creating the works from print editions not protected by U.S. copyright law means that no one owns a United States copyright in these works, so the Foundation and you can copy and distribute it in the United States without permission and without paying copyright royalties. Special rules set forth in the General Terms of Use part of this license apply to copying and distributing Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works to protect the Project GUTMBRGTM. Concept and trademark. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark and may not be used if you charge for an ebook, except by following the terms of the trademark license, including paying royalties for use of the Project Gutenberg trademark. If you do not charge anything for copies of this ebook, complying with the trademark license is very easy. You may use this ebook for nearly any purpose, such as creation of derivative works, reports, performances, and research. Project Gutenberg ebooks may be modified and printed and given away. You may do practically anything in the United States with ebooks not protected by U.S. copyright law. Redistribution is subject to the trademark license, especially commercial redistribution. Start full license. The full Project GUTMBRGTM license. Please read this before you distribute or use this work to protect the Project Gutenberg trademark mission of promoting the free distribution of electronic works by using or distributing this work or any other work associated in any way with the phrase Project Gutenberg. You agree to comply with all the terms of the full Project Gutenberg license available with this file or online at www.gutenberg.org/license. Section 1. General Terms of Use and Redistributing Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. 1a. By reading or using any part of this Project Gutenberg electronic work, you indicate that you have read, understand, agree to, and accept all the terms of this license and intellectual property trademark copyright agreement. If you do not agree to abide by all the terms of this agreement, you must cease using and return or destroy all copies of Project Gutenberg electronic works in your possession. If you paid a fee for obtaining a copy of or access to a Project Gutenberg electronic work and you do not agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement, you may obtain a refund from the person or entity to whom you paid the fee as set forth in paragraph 1E8, 1B. Project Gutenberg is a registered trademark. It may only be used on or associated in any way with an electronic work by people who agree to be bound by the terms of this agreement. There are a few things that you can do with most Project Gutenberg electronic works, even without complying with the full terms of this agreement. See paragraph 1C below. There are a lot of things you can do with Project Gutenberg Electronic Works if you follow the terms of this agreement and help preserve free future access to Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. See paragraph 1e below, 1c. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the Foundation, or PGLAF, owns a compilation copyright in the collection of Project Gutenberg Electronic Works, nearly all the individual works in the collection are in the public domain in the United States. If an individual work is unprotected by copyright law in the United States and you are located in the United States, we do not claim a right to prevent you from copying, distributing, performing, displaying, or creating derivative works based on the work as long as all references to Project Gutenberg are removed. Of course, we hope that you will support the Project Gutenberg mission of promoting free access to electronic works by freely sharing Project Gutenberg works in compliance with the terms of this agreement for keeping the Project Gutenberg name associated with the work. You can easily comply with the terms of this agreement by keeping this work in the same format with its attached full Project Gutenberg license when you share it without charge with others. 1D, the copyright laws of the place where you are located also govern what you can do with this work. Copyright laws in most countries are in a constant state of change. If you are outside the United States, check the laws of your country in addition to the terms of this agreement before downloading, copying, displaying, performing, distributing, or creating derivative works based on this work or any other Project Gutenberg work. The Foundation makes no representations concerning the copyright status of any work in any country other than the United States. 1E. Unless you have removed all references to Project Gutenberg, 1E1, the following sentence with active links to or other immediate access to the full Project Gutenberg license must appear prominently whenever any copy of a Project Gutenberg work, any work, on which the phrase Project Gutenberg appears or with which the phrase Project Gutenberg is associated is accessed, displayed, performed, viewed, copied, or distributed. This ebook is for the use of anyone anywhere in the United States and most other parts of the world at no cost and with almost no restrictions whatsoever. You may copy it, give it away, or reuse it under the terms of the Project Gutenberg trademark license included with this ebook or online at www.gutenberg.org. If you are not located in the United States, you will have to check the laws of the country where you are located before using this ebook. 1E2. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is derived from texts not protected by U.S. copyright law, does not contain a notice indicating that it is posted with permission of the copyright holder, the work can be copied and distributed to anyone in the United States without paying any fees or charges. If you are redistributing or providing access to work with the phrase Project Gutenberg associated with or appearing on the work, you must comply either with the requirements of paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 or obtain permission for the use of the work and the Project Gutenberg trademark as set forth in paragraphs 1E8 or 1E9. 1E3. If an individual Project Gutenberg electronic work is posted with the permission of the copyright holder, your use and distribution must comply with both paragraphs 1E1 through 1E7 and any additional terms imposed by the copyright holder. Additional terms will be linked to the Project Gutenberg license for all works posted with the permission of the copyright holder found at the beginning of this work. 1E4. Do not unlink or detach or remove the full Project Gutenberg license terms from this work or any files containing a part of this work or any other work associated with Project Gutenberg. 1E5. Do not copy, display, perform, distribute, or redistribute this electronic work or any part of this electronic work without prominently displaying the sentence set forth in paragraph 1E1 with active links or immediate access to the full terms of the Project Gutenberg license. 1E6. You may convert to and distribute this work in any binary, compressed, marked up, non-proprietary or proprietary form, including any word processing or hypertext form. However, if you provide access to or distribute copies of a Project Gutenberg work in a format other than plain vanilla ASCII or other format used in the official version posted on the official Project Gutenberg website, www.gutenberg.org, you must, at no additional cost, fee, or expense, To the user, provide a copy, a means of exporting a copy, or a means of obtaining a copy upon request of the work in its original, plain, vanilla ASCII or other form. Any alternate format must include the full Project Gutenberg license as specified in paragraph 1E1, 1E7. Do not charge a fee for access to viewing, displaying, performing, copying, or distributing any Project Gutenberg works, unless you comply with paragraph 1E8 or 1E9, 1E8. You may charge a reasonable fee for copies of or providing access to or distributing Project Gutenberg electronic works, provided that you pay a royalty fee of 20% of the gross profits you derive from the use of Project Gutenberg works calculated using the method you already use to calculate your applicable taxes. The fee is owed to the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, but he has agreed to donate royalties under this paragraph to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Royalty payments must be paid within 60 days following each date on which you prepare or are legally required to prepare your periodic tax returns. Royalty payments should be clearly marked as such and sent to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation at the address specified in Section 4, Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. You provide a full refund of any money paid by a user who notifies you in writing or by email within 30 days of receipt that he does not agree to the terms of the full Project Gutenberg trademark license. You must require such a user to return or destroy all copies of the works possessed in a physical medium and discontinue all use of and all access to other copies of Project Gutenberg trademark works. You provide, in accordance with paragraph 1F3, a full refund of any money paid for a work or a replacement copy if a defect in the electronic work is discovered and reported to you within 90 days of receipt of the work. You comply with all other terms of this agreement for free distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark works. 1E9. If you wish to charge a fee or distribute a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work or group of works on different terms than are set forth in this agreement, you must obtain permission in writing from the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the manager of the Project Gutenberg trademark. Contact the foundation as set forth in section 3 below, 1F1F1. Project Gutenberg volunteers and employees expend considerable effort to identify, do copyright research on, transcribe and proofread works not protected by U.S. copyright law in creating the Project Gutenberg trademark collection. Despite these efforts, Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works and the medium on which they may be stored may contain defects, such as, but not limited to, incomplete, inaccurate, or corrupt data, transcription errors, a copyright or other intellectual property infringement, a defective or damaged disk or other medium, a computer virus or computer codes that damage or cannot be read by your equipment. 1F2. Limited warranty disclaimer of damages, except for the right of replacement or refund described in paragraph 1F3, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, the owner of the Project Gutenberg trademark, and any other party distributing a Project Gutenberg trademark electronic work under this agreement, disclaim all liability to you for damages, costs, and expenses, including legal fees. You agree that you have no remedies for negligence, strict liability, breach of warranty, or breach of contract, except those provided in paragraph 1F3. You agree that the foundation, trademark owner, and any distributor under this agreement will not be liable to you for actual, direct, indirect, consequential, punitive or incidental damages, even if you give notice of the possibility of such damage. 1F3. Limited right of replacement or refund. If you discover a defect in this electronic work within 90 days of receiving it, you can receive a refund of the money, if any, you paid for it by sending a written explanation to the person you received the work from. If you receive the work on a physical medium, you must return the medium with your written explanation. The person or entity that provided you with the defective work may elect to provide a replacement copy in lieu of a refund. If you receive the work electronically, the person or entity providing it to you may choose to give you a second opportunity to receive the work electronically in lieu of a refund. If the second copy is also defective, you may demand a refund in writing without further opportunities to fix the problem. 1. F4. Except for the limited right of replacement or refund set forth. In paragraph 1F3, this work is provided to you, as is, with no other warrantis of any kind, express or implied, including but not limited to warrantis of merchantability or fitness for any purpose. 1. F5. Some states do not allow disclaimers of certain implied warranties or the exclusion or limitation of certain types of damages. If any disclaimer or limitation set forth in this agreement violates the law of the state applicable to this agreement, the agreement shall be interpreted to make the maximum disclaimer or limitation permitted by the applicable state law. The invalidity or unenforceability of any provision of this agreement shall not void the remaining provisions. 1. F6. Indemnity. You agree to indemnify and hold the foundation, the trademark owner, any agent or employee of the foundation, anyone, providing copies of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works in accordance with this agreement, and any volunteers associated with the production, promotion, and distribution of Project Gutenberg trademark electronic works, harmless from all liability, costs, and expenses, including legal fees that arise directly or indirectly from any of the following which you do or cause to occur: a, distribution of this or any Project Gutenberg work; b, alteration, modification, or additions or deletions to any Project Gutenberg work; and c, any defect you cause. Section 2. Information about the mission of Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg is synonymous with the free distribution of electronic works in formats readable by the widest variety of computers, including obsolete, old, middle-aged, and new computers. It exists because of the efforts of hundreds of volunteers and donations from people in all walks of life. Volunteers and financial support to provide volunteers with the assistance they need are critical to reaching Project Gutenberg goals and ensuring that the Project Gutenberg collection will remain freely available for generations to come. In 2001, the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation was created to provide a secure and permanent future for Project Gutenberg and future generations. To learn more about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation and how your efforts and donations can help, see Sections 3 and 4 and the Foundation Information page at www.gutenberg.org, Section 3. Information about the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation is a nonprofit, 501(c)(3) educational corporation organized under the laws of the State of Mississippi and granted tax-exempt status by the Internal Revenue Service. The foundation's EIN, or federal tax identification, number is 64622-1541. Contributions to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation are tax-deductible to the full extent permitted by U.S. federal laws and your state's laws. The foundation's business office is located at 41 Watchung Plaza 516, Montclair, NJ 7042, USA, plus 1-862-620-19288. Email contact links and up-to-date contact information can be found at the foundation's website and official page at www.gutenberg.org/contact. Section 4. Information about donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation. Project Gutenberg trademark depends upon and cannot survive without widespread public support and donations to carry out its mission of increasing the number of public domain and licensed works that can be freely distributed in machine-readable form accessible by the widest array of equipment, including outdated equipment. Many small donations, $1 to $5,000, are particularly important to maintaining tax-exempt status with the IRS. The foundation is committed to complying with the laws regulating charities and charitable donations in all 50 states of the United States. Compliance requirements are not uniform, and it takes a considerable effort, much paperwork, and many fees to meet and keep up with these requirements. We do not solicit donations in locations where we have not received written confirmation of compliance. To send donations or determine the status of compliance for any particular state, visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. While we cannot and do not solicit contributions from states where we have not met the solicitation requirements, we know of no prohibition against accepting unsolicited donations from donors in such states who approach us with offers to donate. International donations are gratefully accepted, but we cannot make any statements concerning tax treatment of donations received from outside the United States. U.S. laws alone swamp our small staff. Please check the Project Gutenberg web pages for current donation methods and addresses. Donations are accepted in a number of other ways, including checks, online payments, and credit card donations. To donate, please visit www.gutenberg.org/donate. Section 5. General information about Project Gutenberg Electronic Works. Professor Michael S. Hart was the originator of the project. Gutenberg concept of a library of electronic works that could be freely shared with anyone. For 40 years, he produced and distributed Project Gutenberg ebooks with only a loose network of volunteer support. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as not protected by copyright in the U.S. unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we do not necessarily keep ebooks in compliance with any particular paper edition. Most people start at our website, which has the main PG search facility, www.gutenberg.org. This website includes information about Project Gutenberg, including how to make donations to the Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter to hear about new ebooks. This is the end of the audiobook. Thank you for listening. You can listen to and download more audiobooks at threeords.com.